జయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజరాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదస్సుల శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నిత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరవభక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధా గుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునామాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గో ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishwapadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhudale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Nidhi Namine Namaste Sarasvadevi Gauravani Pracharane Narvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Deshadarine. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన కృతినాం పురాణ మునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతీ అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీ అంబ త్వామనుసంధనామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీ. నమోస్తు దేవ్యాస విశాలబుద్ధే పుల్లారవిందాయతపత్రనేత్ర ఏన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకవాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధ గోపాలనందన పార్థోవత్స సుదీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. విశ్వద్రోణతడాజయద్రతజలాగాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమకరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సుతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహరః ప్రదీయమానముద భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్వన్యుంది దివ్యై స్తవై వేదై సాంగపదై క్రమోపనిషదైర్ గాయంతి యం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థితద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్య అందం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. భక్తి యోగం చాప్టర్ 12. ఫ్రమ్ ఏ వెరీ వెరీ లాంగ్ టైమ్, ఫ్రమ్ కెన్ సీ ఫ్రమ్ టైమ్ ఏ మెమోరియల్ అండ్ భగవద్గీత హ్యాస్ బీన్ ఏ టాపిక్ ఆఫ్ డిస్కషన్ అమంగ్ ది లెర్నెడ్ పీపుల్ అండ్ you could, through their commentaries, different great personalities, through their commentaries, you could see that the different levels they have spoken based on their realizations from Bhagavad Gita. So And in different languages, it's been translated. Almost all languages in the world. And you can say that the Vedic knowledge, Vedic literature, Vedic Sahityam, in there, Bhagavad Gita is the heart of everything. Right? And these three yoga processes, karmam, jnanam, bhakti, through that, all the Vedic knowledge is very well transmitted, you could say like that, right? One tattvam, one truth, spoken through these three formats, karma margam, jnana margam, and upasana margam, which is bhakti margam, right? Vedam, Shruti, is the core of everything. The very core subject is in the Shruti, in the Vedam. Later times, Upanishads and other darshanams, Shad darshanam, Sangyam, Nyayam, Yogam, Vaisheshayam, Mimamsa, Vedantam, all these things, and the Puranams also, they have all handled the same knowledge what is in the Vedam. And you could see practically that Bhagavad Gita has successfully handled all that very well through these 700 verses, right? At the same time, what is the beauty of Bhagavad Gita is, the way Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita is that what is not acceptable to the Vedam is not in the Bhagavad Gita. For example, Sankhyam, if you take, Kapila Maharshi Sankhyam, from there, what is favorable, what is in agreement with the Shruti, Vedam, Bhagavad Gita has accepted. What is not agreement with the Vedam, Bhagavad Gita has not spoken about it. That's the way Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita is a very, very deep subject it is, right? So, what is spoke in the Sankhyam, what is in line with the Shruti, Vedam, Bhagavad Gita has accepted. What is not in line with the Vedam, Bhagavad Gita has not spoken about it, right? So that is why Sankhya Shastram is accepted by the Vedam. But, and therefore, second chapter is given the title Sankhya Yoga, the Bhagavad Gita, right? So, at the same time, the Tattva Karmam, Tattva Vijayaram, what the way it is done in Sankhya Shastram, is not in the Bhagavad Gita. Because Sankhyam, if you take the way it has been analyzed there, Pradhanam, and from that, the 24 elements, which is we see in the Kabilam, in the Bhagavadam, right? And similarly, the creation, maintenance, destruction, all these things is not accepted in the Shruti. That is coming from Sankhya. And therefore, those topics are not being touched in the Bhagavad Gita. The way it is analyzed in the Kapila Maharshi Sankhyam, certain things has not been touched by Bhagavad Gita. In this way, in all Shastram, whatever that is in line with the Shruti, all that has been accepted and respected by Bhagavad Gita. All that is in line with the Vedam, right? But the other things, what is not in line with the Vedam, Bhagavad Gita has not condemned it, or it has not been criticized either. That is the way Bhagavad Gita is. What is in agreement with the Shruti only is included in the Bhagavad Gita. What, there are so many things in the Sankhyam, what is not agreement with the Vedam. Similarly, Patanjali's Yogam also. Whatever that is in agreement with the Vedam, Bhagavad Gita has spoken and accepted it. What is not in agreement with the Vedam, Bhagavad Gita has just left it. But never went to criticize them either. Right? So, for example, the Yoga Shastram, Ashtanga Yoga system, and the Raja Yogam in the Bhagavad Gita, there is a huge difference the way it has been presented in the Bhagavad Gita. And in the Ashtanga Yoga of Patanjali, there is a difference there. Similarly, Bhakti Shastram and the Bhakti Yogam in the Bhagavad Gita is different. Again, there is differences, right? A big difference between the Bhakti Yogam in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhakti Shastram of the Narada Bhakti Sutram and in the Puranams and all that, there is a difference there as well, right? So, when you look at it this way, you can see that Bhagavad Gita is just a summary of the Shastram, what Krishna has spoken is in line with the Vedam. More stress is on the following the Vedam rather than in the other darshanam, what has come later, right? So therefore, Gita is considered very much like an Upanishad for this reason. And you can also notice that normally when we say any Gita, for example, Gobiya Gitam or Hamsa Gitam, but Bhagavad Gita, you'll say Bhagavad Gita, not Gitam. We don't say that. Why is that? Everywhere else, we'll say Gobiya Gitam and similarly Hamsa Gitam or Brahma Gitam, things like that. But when it comes to Bhagavad Gita, we'll say Bhagavad Gita. Right? So, naturally, when we say like that, Bhagavad Gita means that it's not complete. In other words, there is something more after that. That's why Bhagavad Gita afterwards, that the whole name of it is Bhagavad Gita Upanishad. That is how it is spoken, right? And this reality, at the end of each chapter, Vedavyasa Maharshi himself has clarified it, that the Bhagavad Gita-su, Upanishad-su, Brahma Vidyayam, Yoga Shastre, he has included all that in the Bhagavad Gita's original Vedavyasa Maharshi's Bhagavad Gita. If you look at the Gita Press, you will see this everywhere, right? So, in this way, right? Then there is a lot of other things to understand with the Bhagavad Gita, which we'll come to that later. Why I was saying this was, we started Bhakti Yogam now, this chapter, right? Till now, not one word has been spoken about Bhakti. Everything is about karma. Have you noticed that? If you go back into Bhagavad Gita where we started, you can see what happened was, at the end of 11th chapter, the universal form, Krishna said that mal karma krita mal paramo mal bhakta sangavarjita nurvaira sarvabhudeshu yasamamedi pandava. He said mal karma mal para mal bhakta sangavarjita nurvaira sarvabhudeshu. He will come back to me, he said. This is how Krishna finished the 11th chapter. Malkarma, Malparama, Malbhakta, Sangavarjita, Nurvaira, Sarvabhudeshu. He will come back to me, Krishna said. When Krishna said that, Arjuna got this doubt that Krishna is talking about Malbhakta. What is this bhakti you're talking about? So that has driven Arjuna to ask that question. The first verse. Evam satata yuktaye bhaktasvam parivasade echapi aksharam avyaktam teshamge yogavitama. In other words, he was asking these two options, that one who satata yuktaye, completely absorbed in Krishna, and at the same time, bhaktasvam parivasade, who is worshipping me with that, or the one who is concerned about the antaryami upasana inside, aksharam, avyaktam, antaryami inside, one out of the two, who is best? Arjuna raised this question, right? So you can see from the question itself, Arjuna has doubts about it, and he wanted this clarification between the satata yuktaye bhaktasvam parivasade, a devotee who is all the time doing his, living his life in this world and engaging in bhakti. Is he the best? Or the one who has taken shelter of the antaryami, ejabhi aksharam avyaktam, that aksharam brahmam inside, who is best? And Krishna didn't answer directly. He answered something else.
ही सेड मय आवेश अनोयेमम नित्ययुक्तम उपासते श्रद्धया भरयो वेदस्तेमि युक्ततमो मद. वन हु हैज गॉट श्रद्धा इन मी ही इज द बेस्ट ही सेड. इंस्टेड ऑफ सेइंग वन व्हिच वन इज द बेस्ट आइदर ऑफ द टू कृष्णास आंसर वाज दैट श्रद्धया भरयो वेदस्तेमि युक्ततमो मद. वन हु हैज गॉट श्रद्धा इन मी ही इज द बेस्ट ही सेड. देन ही सेड in the next verse, that is the third verse, that this avyaktam, which is the second part of that question of Arjuna, avyaktam anirdeshyam paryupasade sarvatragama chindyanja kudastam achalam dhruvam, that one who is able to worship that way, that he will come back to me, but he said it is a very difficult thing. Because Sanyamendriya Gramam, it requires Sarvatra Samabuddhaya, Te Praptu Vandimameva, Sarvabhuta Hide Rataha. So that person has to have these qualifications for becoming that way. Avyaktam Upasana, Aksharam Anirdesham Avyakta Upasana for that. You require this Sanyamendriya Gramam, Indriya Gramam, all senses have to be under control. And what else? Sarvatra samabuddhaya. He has to have a equal vision in this world, equally seeing everyone. And te prapnu vandimameva sarvabhuta hide radaha. He has to be friendly to all the living entities. Sarvabhuta hide radaha. He should be a well-wisher of everyone. Added to that, he said, klesham adhikarata sesham avyakta asakta jedasam avyaktahi gadru dukkam dehavadbhira vapyade. And this avyaktam, that means this andaryami upasana, is a difficult one. Avyaktahi gadru duktam, especially when you are in the bodily concept of life, very much absorbed in the body. We have seen all that. I'm just coming back to it again to make you understand that the Krishna is saying about bhakti now. This is Bhakti Yogam chapter. There is not much spoken about bhakti as such till now. Then everything Krishna gives some options after that. He said, Yedu sarvani karmani, mai sanyasya malpara, ananyaneva yogena, mam dhyayantam upasade. Again, instead of talking about bhakti, he spoke about karma. Yedu sarvani karmani, mai sanyasya malpara, ananyaneva yogena, mam dhyayantam upasade. Krishna is saying, one who has surrendered all karma to me, in all possible ways, and without allowing the mind to go into anything else, such a person, he is, in his meditations, he is taking my shelter. And he is offering, his upasana is for me, he said. So in other words, without saying about bhakti yet, he said, Sedu sarvani karmani, mai sanyasya malpara, ananyeva yogena, mam dhyayanda upasade. Then Krishna said, if he is doing that, tasha maham samudharta, I'll take care of him. Mrityu samsara sagarat bhavamin ajiral partha mayyaveshita chedasa. So if he is doing that, gradually I will take care of him from the cycle of birth and death. Added to that, very easily he said, bhavamin ajiral partha, that his mind will get fixed up in me. Mayyaveshita chedasa, said Krishna like that. Here, again, hasn't spoken about bhakti yet. Then he said, mai eva mana adatsva, mai buddhim niveshaya, nivasishyasi mai eva, ada urdhvam na samshaya. He said, if he fixes his mind on me, and buddhi also, he is living in me, he said. Again, the finer side of bhakti has never touched in that verse either. Then he said, Krishna said, if that is not possible for him, ata chittam samadhadum, he can practice it. Abhyasa yogena tato mam ichhatam dhananjaya. Abhyasa yogam, Krishna said, you continue practice it and you will eventually come back to me. If that is not possible, abhyasa api asamartosi, if he is not capable of doing that, mal karma paramo bhava mad artham vikarmani kurvan siddhim avapsisi. He said that if he is not capable of doing, practicing it, abhyasam, then if he thinks that all the karma what he is doing in this world, do that as an offering to me, and that will help him to come to the yoga state, he said. Madartam abhigarmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi. He acquires that yoga siddhi if he does all that karmam for me. Again, karmam, I have spoken there. Then he said, if that is not possible, adaidada bashaktosi kartam mad yogam ashrida sarva karma bhalatyagam tadakuri yadatmavan. If also that's not possible, sarva karma bhalatyagam, whatever karmam we are doing, that all the results give it to me, he said. So where is, why is not spoken about bhakti here? Basically, to make us understand, karmam and bhakti are not different. Karmam is a stepping stone. And if karmam is not right, that is where the key behind that. The key to bhakti is in the karmam. And karmam and bhakti are so intertwined together that if karmam is not sorted out, then the bhakti, very difficult to understand what Krishna is going to say from now on. Yeah. So this is one point to take notice of before we go into the Bhakti Yogam chapter as such. So Krishna said this, that look at it this way. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in the 18th chapter that Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi Brahmain Sarvabhudani Yantrarudhani Maya Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarva Bhavena Bharata Tal Prasadal Param Shandim Stanam Prapsesi Shashvatam, he said. Right? So that is how in the 18th chapter Krishna is finishing up Bhagavad Gita, more or less. Right? So Shastram, when we talk about it, who is qualified to speak and who is qualified to listen Shastram, and what is spoken in the Shastram, what is the benefit from the Shastram, and all these things are important. It's not just like reading another book. There are so many other things behind it. And in Bhagavad Gita, if you have studied well, you will understand that, where that is coming from. For example, what should be the qualification of a listener? And what is the benefit from the Shastram? And who is qualified to listen Bhagavad Gita? And therefore, if you look in the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita itself, it will say, Samsarasya Atyanta Ubarameda Lakshanam Jnanam. Ajari Swami says there. Samsarasya Atyanta Ubarameda Lakshanam Jnanam. He said. That means that this is in the Ubodghatam, in the introduction. He says, first of all, one who wants to escape from here, one who is attached to this place and wants to live comfortably here, he is not qualified for Bhagavad Gita, strictly speaking. Because he won't understand Bhagavad Gita. Even if you tell him that, he will do bits and pieces from here and there in the Bhagavad Gita. But this is important qualifications. Ajari Swami says there, Samsarasya Atyanda Varameda Lakshanam Jnanam. He says that is the symptom of a person who has come to Bhagavad Gita, right? And when you read Bhagavad Gita, you will always find something that if you are reading it in a normal way, not translation purport, but you have to read the verses, right? And then wherever you have questions, you will find an answer somewhere else in the Bhagavad Gita. That's how Bhagavad Gita is, right? That is why continuously reading Bhagavad Gita is important, because there's so many things will come up in that process. And little bit of knowledge of the Sanskrit is helpful that way. And ultimately Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita that, what will you get from that? Param Shandim. Param Shandi Stanam Prapsesi Shashodam. He concluded like that in the 18th chapter. Right? So what is that Stanam Krishna is saying there? Sthanam prapsisi sashvatam, he says. So, that sthanam is that the location of the shanti, what Krishna is talking about. Tal prasadal param shantim sthanam prapsisi shashvatam. Each word if you take, shanti, prapsisi, sthanam, shashvatam. Very meaningful words. That's location, andaryami. That is where that sthanam, and that is the location where the shanti is there. Nowhere else. Shanti is there, sthanam, prapsisi, shashvatam. And that shanti is eternal, is permanent, not coming and going, permanent, right? So, that location of Krishna is making clear to us, you search for shanti anywhere else, you won't find it. Shanti you will only find there, when you realize Krishna there as Andaryami inside. So, it is referring to that, Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi Brahmayan Sarvabhudani. So, you are taking that as an introduction to Bhakti Yoga, because Bhakti Yoga spoken in the 12th chapter, but where is that Bhakti should be? That is spoken in the 18th chapter. In that sthanam, what Krishna has spoken, right? So, when we talk about Bhakti, Bhakti to whom? Krishna says towards Ishvara, Ishvara Sarvabhudanam, Hriddeshe. Ishvara, where is Ishvara? Ishvara is not talking about Ishvara who is in Vaikuntham or in the Kailasam or anywhere else. Hriddeshe is defined that as well, right? So, and what does Krishna do there, being inside us in the Hriddeshe? What does he do there? That all karmam, our karmam, and all kartrutvam, I am the doer, and all our power inside us for doing karmam, the knowledge, jnana shakti for karmam, jnana shakti and the kriya shakti, the power to execute the karmam, all these things are controlled from there, andaryami. Jnana shakti, kriya shakti, as well as this kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, all these things, according to our swabhava, our vasana inside, Krishna has put us in this machine. Yantrarudhani Maya, this machine called this body, and he is operating it from inside, right? And he has placed all of us in this body called Yantram, and he is making us to do all these things based on our swabhavam, engages us in karma, gives us the results of the karma, allows the senses to interact with the sense objects, and the after effect of that, sukham dukham, allows that to come and hit ourselves in the mind, and the mind experiences that. So in this way, this machine is operating from inside, controlled by the Andaryami sitting inside, Brahmayan Sarvabhudani. All living entities in this world is controlled like this, from inside. It's a famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi Brahmayan. That means like in the giant wheel, we are moving up and down in the same way. We, the jivas also, coming up into the highest level of the human form, going down again to lower species, coming back again to human form, back to lower species, in this way up and down, sometimes into the higher planets, sometimes to the middle level, sometimes to the lower level. In this way, upper level, lower level, middle level, in this way, this rotation. That is what Brahmayan means. And not only us, Sarvabhudani, everybody is going through this. This is our life in this world. Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi, and keeping us going around in this giant wheel of samsara. Having said that, Yantrarudhani. Yantrarudhani means, what is that force behind that? Activating force. Krishna said, that is Maya. Yantrarudhani, Maya. Maya is doing that. This is this creation, actually. And we don't look at it, we just see the matter everywhere, and we think this is what we got it. We've got it now. Because we have seen the matter. And this, we are proud of that, is it not? Look at the way how the rishis are seeing our existence. Rishis are saying to us, Ishara Sarobhodana, Hriddeshe, Arjuna, Tishadi, Brahmayan Sarobhodani, Yantra Rodhani Maya. Right? Maya Nama Ishwarasya, Achindyam, Anirvajaniya Shaktihi, says. Anirvajaniya Shakti Visheshaha. That very difficult to define this Maya, what it is, right? Krishna said like that. And then the Upanishad says Devalpa Shakti. Right? So Ishvara, where he is present, is told to us that it is in that Hriddeshe. Right? That is his location. And that place is permanent. Shashwatam Sthanam. Right? And how is he present there? Upanishad says, Karma Adhyaksha, Sarvabhudadi Vasaha, Sakshi, Cheda, Kevalo, Nirgunascha. This is all in the Upanishads. Karma Adhyaksha is our Adhyaksha. Adhyaksha means he is a presiding personality. He is presides in our karma in this world. Not only Adhyaksha, then what else? Karma Sakshi. Whatever we do, he is a witness of everything. Right? And then what else? Whatever karma we have done, he decides what results we should get from that. It's also very clear. Two people do the same karma. One gets a different result. Another one gets another result. Why is it? You do the same karma, two people, they should get the same result, isn't it? But two people get two different results. Who decides? Antaryami decides what you should get, right? So, so karma bharadadava, it is him, right? And then, who prompts us to do the karma from inside? Antaryami. Based on the subhav, vasanas inside. And who delivers the result? Also Antaryami. And all this is one shakti, one energy, right? So, in that shakti, that power inside, is spoken both as female and male, in both form. And how is that force inside? You can't see him. Shruti is saying, Manomayam. What else he does there? When all these things are going on, different thoughts and emotions are coming in us. How is that coming then? The different thoughts and emotions that keeps coming, right? Suppose you close your eyes and sit there. Still, thoughts and emotions are still coming in. The power of mind, right? And what is then mind? Mind is nothing but a screen Antaryami has put in front of him. So that we don't access Antaryami straight away. You can only access up to the mind. Mind is a screen in front of the Antaryami, right? And that is why it said, Manomayaha, Prana Sharirasaha. And he is controlling there. And all these yoga processes says, Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam, Anandamayam. All these things, we are inside this. How? Then Annamayam means body, gross body, right? Annamayam. And where is this situated? Hridayam Sannidhaya, in this Annamayam, right? Upanishads have shown us a location, and he is established localized place, Hridayam, localized, right? And once you get to know that place, Paribhashyanti Dhiraha, says Upanishads, right? Dhiras sees that very clearly there, Antaryami's presence, right? So, Ananda Rupam Hridamyad Vibhadi, as present as Anandam inside, Anandam Because that vastu has no death. It's not born either. Everything else in this body is born, stay some time and then die. That one vastu inside, in hridesham, antaryami, he is not born, he doesn't die either. So, after saying all these things, this antaryami principle is very important for everybody, especially Ramanuja Vaishnavas also, they take it very important, right? And Upanishads also says a lot about this antaryami principle. The way they presented it, Upanishad says that yatha prithivyam tishtan, one who is present in the earth planet, Bhumi. Bhumi is the body of the antaryami, and being present in this antaryami is present in the Bhumi as well. And then that antaryami controls the Bhumi, controls the earthly planet. Like antaryami is inside us, controlling us. In the same way, antaryami is present in the sun, in the moon, and in all the planets, and in everything practically, antaryami is present. Right? And aushadhi, vanaspati, trees, plants, in everywhere, he is present in the same way. Right? And it is that who is present in everything. It's the same antaryami that is present in us as well, says Shruti. Shruti says so. Right? In this way, step by step, Shruti establishes that antaryami is present everywhere. It says in the space, in the sun, and in everything, practically, right? As Upadhi, Upadhi Sahidam, right? It is because of his presence only that we feel its existence. Like when you look at the sun, the moon, and other planets, stars, everything, whenever you feel existence anywhere, it is an indication that antaryami is present there. That is why we feel its existence. So, and it is that same antaryami who is present inside us as well. Right? And he is the one who is present inside us, who is hearing through our ears, who is hearing through our eyes, and in all the three states also, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. While this is all going on in this body, he is still present inside as a witness to everything what is happening in the body. So, that is all implied in this, you see. When Krishna is saying like that, Ishvara Sarvabhudanam, you have to go deeper into that to understand what this Ishvara means. Ishvara is not just a person sitting like that. This whole activities in this body is controlled by him, but he is not involved in anything, but he is a witness to everything. He decides what we should be doing based on our vasana, what karma we will do, and what results will come from that. Complete control is with that antaryami inside, right? So here in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying this, that prasadam, what Krishna is pleased with, antaryami is pleased with that jiva, that prasadam, he calls it as bhakti here in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look at the second chapter, you will find there this, it's a famous verse, but we may misunderstand some. Prasade sarva dukhanam hani rasyoba jayate prasanna chetaso ashu buddhi pari avatishtate. That's how Krishna puts it. Prasade sarva dukhanam hani rasyoba jayate prasanna chetaso ashu buddhi pari avatishtate. when the mind is in blissful state, very quickly Krishna says that all his distress goes away, and one whose mind is in a pleasing mood, his buddhi very quickly becomes very steady. Prasanna chedaso hyashu buddhi paryavatishtade. So, prasada sarvadukkanam hani rasyopajayade. Prasanna chedaso hyashu buddhi paryavatishtade. Very important words to think about it. Right? Sometimes Krishna will say, alternatively, prasadam and bhakti. We may think, oh, he has not used the word bhakti. He has used the word prasadam there. That's bhakti. What he is talking about, prasadam, is bhakti, right? And prasadam, we will understand in a different way. A big feast. Prasade sarva dukhanam. Hani rasyo vajayare. So, one who does not understand the subtle side of Bhagavad Gita, he will take it like that. If I get a good feast, I am satisfied. Sarvadukham has gone. Prasad hani rasyo vajayare. And the feast is very good. Buddhi bhari avadishtade. Buddhi is in the right place. So you can interpret it that way also, that verse. Is it not? It's a direct meaning if you take it. That's how it is. If you take that mean verse directly, that's what it means. You get a good plate of prasadam, eat it well, mind is placed, and buddhi is satisfied. Prasade sarvadukhana. Hani rasyo vajayate. So, so this prasadam is not that prasadam, what Krishna is saying here, right? What Krishna is saying is the purity of the heart, marmalyam of the chittam. That means chittam has become so fine, freedom from all other impurities in the heart, right? 100% purity inside. That means his nature is not to deviate from the limitations of dharma. Dharma controls him so strongly that he will not break away from that boundaries set by dharma. To such an extent he follows dharma, right? And that nature, that is what that is, he's referring to, right? He's going to talk about all these things later. He's going to say this, right? So that is why in Ekadasham Krishna is saying Uddhava also, Chittar Dri Bhava. If when a person becomes bhakti, develops properly, ardrada comes to the mind. Ardrada means the mind becomes very much in a subtle level. It becomes very liquefied nature. In other words, it's not anymore hard-hearted. Because all the good qualities have come inside. Ragadvesham has gone. And kama krodha lobha moha mada malsarima is gone. Naturally, it comes that nirmalatvam, it's called, the purity of the mind, right? Chittardri bhavam. Chittardri bhavam. Ardri bhavam. Or shandi. And that comes from tapasya, from austerities and penances, right? So, tapasya, the benefit of tapasya is this nirmalyam, nirmalata of the chittam, right? And that is the result of bhakti. You will see this mentioned in the 11th canto. In the Pipalayana Maharshi spoke, remember, Bhagavata Dharmam. At that time, in the last stage, he said to him, third chapter, verse 40. Yarhi abjanabha charane shanayoru bhaktya chedomalani vidhamel gunakarma jani tasmin vishuddham ubalabhyadam atmatattvam sakshalyatha amaladrisho savitra prakasha. Yarhi abjanabha charane shanayoru bhaktya chedomalani vidhamel gunakarma jani tasmin vishuddham ubalabhyadam atmatattvam sakshalyatha phal amaladrisho savitra prakasham. Sattvagunam, rajagunam, tamagunam. Due to that karma, and due to that impurities in the heart. This is how impurities are developed through karma. Sattvagunam, rajagunam, tamogunam. Three modes of nature. Due to that karma we executed. The result of that, it created all these ragadvesham and all other impurities, right? So he's saying here, tasmin vishuddham upalabhyatam alpatattvam. When through bhakti, when all that is clarified, he will experience the presence of Antaryami inside. He will experience the presence of Antaryami inside. Say it's just like amala prakasha, tasmin vishuddham upalabhyatam alpatattvam. And just like with the eyes you see the sun in the same way, Savitra Prakasha, right? And the same verse, Melpattu put it in the Narayaniya, in another nice way, in the sense that he said, when purification happens to the mind, what will happen to him? He said that Chittardri Bhavamucher Vabushaja Pulakam Harsha Bashpam Chakitwa Chittam Shuddhel Kathamba Kimubahutabasa Vidyaya Vida Bhakti Tulgada Swada Siddhanjana Sadadamari Mrjamano Yamalma Chakshurval Tattva Sushmam Bhajadi Nadutada Abhyastaya Tarka Kotyaha Chittardri Bhavamucher Vabushija Pulagam Harsha Bashpam Chahitva Chittam Shuddhiel. When Adri Bhavam comes, when the mind becomes very purified, very pure, at that time, his body will be affected by that. Pulaga Harsha Bashpam Chahitva Chittam Shuddhiel Kathamva Kimu Bahutabasa Vida Vidyaya Vida Bhakti. That person who has accepted Krishna, who has accepted Krishna inside, and such a person whose chittam has become shuddhi, and that way he developed the knowledge of the self with chitta shuddhi. Chitta shuddhi happened, and that ended up in self-realization, alpajnana, right? That person will never reach that state. What he has reached, it is not possible, he says, nado eda abhyasthaya tarka kotya, by studying shastram and arguing and debating and confronting others. If in that way, if you develop knowledge of the self, he won't be able to, under any circumstances, get to know Krishna the way someone who knows him through chitta shuddhi. That's the principle. Melpattur puts it like that. Chittam shuddhiyel kathamva kimu bahutabasa mrjyamanam kimu bahutabasa vidyaya vida bhakte. Through tapasya and all other tarka gotya, this sushma tattvam, tattva sushmam, bhajadi, chakshurval, one who is seeing that, he will not be able to experience that through shastram, studying and developing through, you know, what Lord Brahma also said. That means, through bhakti, when you get to realize, chitta shuddhi comes, and then you realize Krishna's presence inside as Antaryami. That realization is much more deeper level realization than compared to a jnani's realization. Because it is not through buddhi he is realizing it. It's not through buddhi, right? That is what he is saying here. That devotee, he has accepted Krishna wholeheartedly, but it has not come into realization yet. He has accepted, but realization has not happened. When it comes like that, gradually he will come to that state, little by little, step by step, he should engage in bhakti sadhana, right? So, everything what was spoken till now, in that chapter, in the 12th chapter, is all based on karma. That karma mandalam, in the field of karma, if that is not cleared, in the field of karma, if that's not cleared, to get established in bhakti will be very difficult. That is the reason behind that, right? In bhakti sadhana, we will say charya. Charya means that kriya, you can say like that. for example, to make that a bit clearer, on a physical level, in shastram, right, will say to us, do different things. For example, you go to the temple, circumambulation of the deity, all around, all the time. A lot of people do circumambulation, is it not? Similarly, chanting the holy name, and doing different things, offering obeisances. All these things are on a physical level. It's done with physical body, right? And then also Krishna said there, what is very dear to you give it to me. He said that. Yadyad ishtadamam loge. In the Bhagavadam, Krishna says this to Uddhava. Yadyad ishtadamam loge. Yachadi priyamalpana. Tattan nivedayan mahyam. Tada anandaya kalpade. He's saying there, is it not? These are all the subtle things in life to understand. Krishna is saying, yadyad ishtadamam loge. Whatever you like in this world, what you like as the best, whatever is very dear to you, give that to me, he says. Yadad ishtaramam loge, yachadi priyamalpana. What is dear to you, tatar nivedayan mahyam. Give it to me. If you do that, what will happen? Tada anandaya kalpade. You will get unlimited benefit from that. He put it like that to Uddhava. Krishna said that. Yeah. So, these things comes in kriya also. Right? Our topic is bhakti yogam here. And the things what so far Krishna has spoken is all centered around karma and offering the results of the karma. And again he said like this, what you like, you give it to me, and things like that, right? So, in other words, whatever you are doing inside the temple is not enough. Yeah. And that is why he said, Yedu sarvani karmani, mai sanyasya malpara. He said earlier in one verse, isn't it? Yadu sarvani karmani mani sanyasya malpara ananyeva yogena mam dhyayantam upasade. Right? So, bhakti sadhana or bhakti, when you say that, it's not that only when you are in the temple or when you are chanting the round. Bhakti is not limited only to that. Right? 24 hours is bhakti. Bhakti all the time in the mind. There is bhakti in the heart. That is bhakti. Bhakti is not limited to a few hours in the morning or few hours in the evening or when you are in the temple or when you go on visiting a mahalma or something like that. Bhakti has to be a continuous process all the time inside, right? And that is why when, if you look at all the great personalities, when they talked about their deity whom they have worshipped, they will say all the time. Not limited to any particular time. Yeah. Shivananda Lahari, Ajahari Swami says towards Lord Shiva, Yadyat karma karodida takilam shambhodha varadhanam. All the time, he says, right? But there, when he is talking about Lord Shiva, he says that whatever karma I am doing, that let that become your worship. Everything what I am doing. In other words, total engagement, day and night, whatever I am doing, even sleeping, is also worship of Lord Shiva in that way. Tat yadyat karma karodida takilam shambhodha varadhanam. There is a verse in the Shivananda Lahari that says that. If you come to Vaishnavam, what do they say? Kayena vaja manasendriyarva buddhyalpanava prakrite sobhaval karodi yadyal sakalam parasmai narayana idi samarpayami. It's the same principle both for Shiva and for Vishnu, is the same thing. And if you go to Devi, it is the same thing again there. There's a verses which is related to that, right? Jalo jalpa shivam sakalam there is a famous verse Acharya Swami has written about that. So bhakti's nature is like that. It's not limited to 1 hour, 2 hours, or sadhana, or meditation, or dhyanam, japam, namaskaram, kshetra darshanam. Not that way. That is part of that. But bhakti is always 24 hours. It's not limited to a few minutes or a few hours in a day. That is what the important thing, right? In other words, what Krishna is saying there is that, in essence, if your bhakti has not affected your karmam, in your field of karmam, if it has not influenced bhakti, then it is not bhakti. It is so closely linked, bhakti and karmam, right? The bhakti what you have in your heart for Krishna, if it has not influenced your karmam, then it is not bhakti. And most of the devotees also, you can see this, they have separated these two. They are saying, karmam is my family affair. I go to work to keep my family life going. I come to the temple for bhakti, they say. No, that's not right understanding. That is not the right understanding. Karmam and bhakti are so close together that the if the bhakti is not influenced your karmam, then that bhakti is not bhakti, right? Why is it so? You have to analyze also this. Why is it spoken like that, right? Your pride and ahankaram is all in the karma, is it not? Abhimanam comes when you do karma. When you engage in karma, that's why ownership comes. I am the doer. And similarly, the results must come. And ahankaram gets boosted in karma, right? A person may be very good in his deity room, in his at home. Suppose you have a puja room, and in the puja room when he is doing the deity worship, he may be a good person, right? Similarly, when you go to the temple, you may be a good person, right? But when you leave all that, and you come to the field of karma, all other things changes, right? There selfishness comes. Pride comes, ragadvesham comes, then envy comes, and results you want from the karma, and competition comes. All these comes in the field of karma, right? You know that. Everyone, we all have done karma, isn't it? So we know these things, where these things come. In the temple room and deity room and all, it won't come. But once you've come to the field of karma, all these things comes along with it. Selfishness, then pride, ahankaram will come, ragadvesham will come, asuya will, envy will come, competition, malsaryam will come, and the results also you want from the karma. So that, what does that mean? It means that if you want to have bhakti, you have to disturb your karma, field of karma. You require an overhaul there. Otherwise, it's not possible. Otherwise, they will two remain, will separate. Like you will be doing things in temple in one way, and in the field of karma, you will be acting independently. That won't work. Bhakti won't. This is the secrets of bhakti. Bhakti cannot change unless the field of karma changes, right? So, unless you have a revolution in the field of karma, bhakti won't come. Oh, bhakti requires this. The field of karma has to be properly organized, in other words. Right? That means you will have to disturb your field of karma for bhakti to develop. Bhakti has to influence the karma, field of karma, right? And that is where all the problem is. Is it not? That's where all the problem is. The karma, field of karma. To get that right, bhakti, other things anybody can do. I can go to the temple and sit there for a couple of hours in the morning and chant the holy name and physically associate with all the devotees there, and I come back, then I go to work, and then I'm doing other things where I'm very particular about the result, very particular about the success in there, in the field of karma. So there bhakti has not entered. Bhakti is only limited to the few hours in the temple or at the deity room in the temple, at home, things like that, right? So what does bhakti mean? Bhakti means, now, again, all this what you're talking about is based on Krishna's description of bhakti in the Bhagavad Gita, which is again different from the way it's spoken in the bhakti shastrams. For example, you see, bhakti is such a complex thing. It's not like jnanam. Every tradition, parampara if you look, whether it's the Vishishta Dvaitam, Dvaitam, Advaitam, and even our Achintya Vedavidam and all, the acharyas in that tradition, they have written books about the way they have understood bhakti. Like for example, Haribhakti Vilasam and also our Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, they were compiled by Rupa Goswami based on the tenets of Gaudiya Vedantam, Gaudiya Siddhantam, right? So similarly, Krishna has spoken his process of bhakti, the way Krishna has spoken, which is quite different from all others. This is a pretty revolutionary way Krishna has put it. Krishna is saying, bhakti means that it has to have its effect on the karma. If karma is not changed by bhakti, then bhakti has not become perfect. So, and that's not how many people understand bhakti. So, bhakti also, Krishna is saying, shanti must be there. And shanti means you have realization inside of the self, right? So, not like the way some people think bhakti is some kind of ecstasy. Because people think like that. I went for a kirtan and sat there. Beautiful music. And they spoke about how I should have bhakti. Close my eyes and feel like you are in a meditation and you feel as though you are out of this world. The bhakti, because of the music, everything you felt, you are out of the world. And no other chitavrittis came, enjoying that music and the chanting the holy name in that way. And that is one's level of understanding of bhakti. That's another side of bhakti, right? But Krishna saying this much, that's our important thing. What does Krishna say about bhakti? Krishna is saying, if bhakti has not influenced your karma, then it is not bhakti anymore, right? Krishna is saying, when that shanti comes inside, which means when ragadvesham goes away, ahankaram goes, give way, and selfishness and all other things goes away. And not like the way when you get ecstatic feeling comes and you start dancing all people together for an hour or two, and then we felt that I had a lot of bhakti in my heart. That's why I felt very devotional, they say, connected with the divinity. And comes out with all this kind of jugglery word. And that is not what Krishna has spoken here, right? So, Ramanujacharya also says that it is continuous remembrance, nitya nirandara smriti of Krishna, right? So, now, when he is talking about that also, he never said that it is not self-realization, right? We shouldn't misunderstand things about acharyas also when we talk about them, right? Even though Madhvacharya and Ramanuja, both these great personalities, right, they don't have difference of opinion that ultimately you have to realize the self. They agree on that point, right? Unless you realize the self, right? And they call that as bhakti, realizing the self, right? And arguments is about whether it is dvaitam, vishishta dvaitam. It is on that basis the argument is, right? That is siddhantam. Siddhantam, there could be difference of opinion on that. But for all of them, whether it is Shankaracharya or Ramanuja or Madhva or Vishnu Swami or Nimbarka or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they all accept one thing, that ultimately the Antaryami, Krishna inside, is the self. That realization is spiritual life. Which way you get there is another thing. through Dvaitam, Hishtadvaitam, Advaitam, it doesn't matter how you get there, that's another thing. But on this issue, they all agree that unless he realizes Antaryami Krishna inside as the self, that which happens at the end, right? So therefore, self-realization on that issue, everyone agrees. Ravana Maharshi said this about Shankaracharya's, Ramanujas and Madhvacharya's philosophy, right? He says, you can look at whether it is one, two or three or all this later. Forget about that, he said. First, agree with this one, that self-realization is the important thing. That there is Atma, there is Krishna inside as Antaryami. Accept that first. And if you are not agreeing with that, then what's the point in arguing about the Siddhantam then? How you get there, right? So, this one thing, that Krishna is there, Antaryami is as Antaryami inside, and that's our identity. Spiritually, that's what we are. Not. And in that, they don't have any disagreement on that, right? All Acharyas agree, come on the Vedic tradition, except the Nastikas and the Charvakas. They don't agree with that, right? Others all agree with that, right? So, you can decide whether it is one, two or three and all that later on. That's not important. That means, knowing that Antaryami, realizing Antaryami, Krishna inside, and experiencing that, on that there is no difference of opinion among the Acharyas also, right? So that is what bhakti is referring to, that bhakti. Bhakti means experiencing the self. Swasvarupani anusandhanam bhakti ritya vidhiyate. Vivek Chudamani says so, right? So, and what is preventing that from realizing that is this mind. Mind is preventing that. Mind is a curtain in front of that Antaryami. A strong curtain that's been put on front of us, right? And we call that as mind. In another format, you can call it as avidya. Avidya is that mind, right? And it is the same avidya, sometimes you call it as svabhava. So you see, the words may be different, but the effect on us is the problem. What? How does it affect on us? Effect us, right? Svabhava, it's the same thing. And svabhava is what comes through the mind. And it is the svabhava what is called avidya. So mind, avidya, svabhavam, they are all different ways of saying the same thing. And prana also is the same thing. So, when this mind becomes a little gross, that's when it's called prana. Isn't it? When the mind becomes... I know it's difficult, all these things, isn't it? Because we are not used to the Rishi's way of thinking. For us, everything has to be boxed separately and packaged separately. Only then you can relate with that. This is not Rishi's method. Rishis will use different words for the same thing. They will use different. Sutralpma, Pratnya, Pratyagalpma, Nyapti. So many words, everything referring to Antaryami. But on different occasions, how you are experiencing it, it's based on that. So, when we have desires in our mind, pranan gets disturbed. We all know that, right? So, that means that if we don't have desires inside, there is a lot of desires inside, right? And we are not even conscious of that. It is there, it will come out when the right time comes. Those desires will come out, right? So, in a subtle level, Sushma Mandalam. If our desires have gone away, he does not require pranayama. You know this pranayama is a big thing, isn't it? Pranayama is a big part of the spiritual life, right? Because for his pranam is already in a peaceful state. Mind is in a peaceful state. Means pranam is in a peaceful state. There's not much movement happening there, right? Whereas if your mind is disturbed due to some desires, right, and if there is full of desires inside the mind, it will be very difficult to focus on anything. And that is why they do pranayama. You know, in deity worship, in Tantra Vidya, if you study, you will find there, before they enter into the deity room in the morning, the pujari who are supposed to do the deity worship, he will stay outside, sit there, do pranayamam to get the mind under control, so that unnecessary thoughts don't come up when you are with the deity. Otherwise, what will happen when you go inside? People, most of the people are busy with changing the nice dhoti and the tilakon and they check all that. But inside what's going on, you don't know. You'll be thinking about your daughter's marriage or job or salary or something else like that. All other things will be inside. You may be dressing the deity. You may be offering the deity whatever you have prepared. You may be doing the arati, but you'll be still thinking about the problems at home. So what happened? That's why mind has to have that shanti inside, right? So, but through pranayamam, the only thing you can do is to, for a short period of time, the mind will stay under control, but it will go out again, right? So, after some time, you will start realizing that basically, this is when you become a little bit subtle, right? That this body itself is nothing but pranan, movement of the pranan. It is based on that this body is working, right? And what is pranan? Pranan is nothing but the mind. And it is the mind that is controlling the body, is it not? When you think about it, you see, we have become so stuck in the body that you're finding it difficult to think in any other level. 70% in the mind is this body, is it not? And protecting this body, maintaining this body, and somehow or the other to save this body. And this is all inside us in the subtle level. In everybody, it is like that, right? And that won't go away easily. Because we are also used to that way of thinking all through life. We've maintained this body, looked after the body. And you can see in everyone it is so deep rooted, right? If in the mind, lust, anger, greed and things like that, when they come, pranan will start moving. There will be a movement of the pranan. Pranan will start moving, right? And when the pranan starts moving, the body will get disturbed. It all happens. We may not have time for that, because what happens when the anger comes, you identify with the anger. And therefore you are not able to observe anything else, what's happening inside the body. Right? So, another thing is, one is inside the other. For example, Annamayam is inside this Pranamayam. So if Annamayam gets disturbed, Pranamayam gets disturbed, Annamayam will get disturbed, right? And Pranamayam is inside the Manomayam. So if Manomayam is disturbed, Pranamayam will get disturbed. Pranamayam is disturbed, Annamayam will get disturbed. Annamayam is a gross body. So one is inside the other. That is how yogis have seen all these things. And that is why so much books written about it also, right? And then Manomayam is inside this Vijnanamayam. And Vijnanamayam is inside the Anandamayam. Right? And so Manomayam means that there is avidya inside. And that avidya is operating there. So what Krishna is saying there, that is why Bhagavad Gita is too subtle a science if you start studying it seriously, right? In order that your Vijnanamayam has to come, if that is in the right place, that all your karmam, if your Vijnanamayam is in the right place, all your karmam will become yajnam, Krishna says. Third chapter. When does life become yajnam? Provided, if everything is in the Vijnanamayam stage, if the Vijnanamayam is in the right place, he's saying, it is in the Vijnanamayam that one becomes a Karmayogi. His karmam becomes Karmayoga. That means, in the Vijnanamayam, the knowledge of the self is strong. then your karmam will be a karma yogam only. It cannot be karma. It becomes karma yogam, right? So it is in vijnana mandalam the yajnam happens, right? And that means his whole life will become a yajnam. It will become a yajnam. In other words, it becomes a bhakti. Bhakti sadhana. You see, Krishna has brought bhakti from karma. Everything connected to karma. So karma becomes a bhakti sadhana, provided it is a karma yogam, and it becomes a karma yogam if the in the vijnana mandalam, vijnanamayam, annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam. If that vijnanamayam is right place, vijnanamayam is in the right place, then karma will become a yajnam, and then it will become a karma yogam. And if it becomes a karma yogam, it will become a bhakti sadhana. It becomes a bhakti sadhana then, karma yogam. You remember when we started discussing Bhagavata Dharma, we mentioned this also. Karma yogam plus bhakti is Bhagavata Dharma. Bhakti alone, it is not Bhagavata Dharma. Karma yogam plus bhakti is Bhagavata Dharma. That is why that verse. That verse is the direct explanation of bhakti in the Bhagavata Dharma, in the Bhagavata, right? So, and so then what happens? The Bhagavata Dharma, it becomes Bhagavata Dharma. It becomes Bhagavata Dharma. That means Bhagavata Aryadhana becomes a dharma, right? And only if it happens that way, it becomes nivritti. It becomes nivritti. Nivritti means freedom from this cycle of birth and death. It will lead into that, right? Shanti will come. And so, Sharanagati, when we say, it is not a single process, right? And Sharanagati means, see, when we say Sharanagati, one word when you say it, it's often difficult to understand. What does it involve, Sharanagati, right? Sharanagati means that it's not a single process. One after the other you have to pick up and hand it over to Krishna. That is Sharanagati, right? Slowly, slowly, you should pick up one after the other and hand it over to Krishna. Krishna says, hand over karmam first to me. Karmam, right? Then he says, you give up the kartrutvam to me. And then bhoktrutvam to me. In this way, karmam you are handing over first. And then you are handing over, I am the doer to him. Krishna is the doer. Then I am handing over, I am the enjoyer to him. Krishna is the enjoyer. Like the way, take up one after the other everything from you, what you have got with you, and hand it over to me, right? So, step by step like this, in this karmam, knowing that Krishna is the Antaryami inside, keeping him as the one who is actually in charge, who is responsible for everything. As Krishna is saying in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you will see there that Krishna mentions that fourth verse, Adibhudam Kshero Bhava Purushaschadi Devatam Adhi yajnyoha mevatra dehe deha vradam varya. Right? What he is saying is that everything that gets destroyed, adhibhudam is, that bhavam is adhibhudam. Kharam. Kharam means that gets destroyed. Right? That bhavam is called adhibhudam. Adidevam is the Purusha inside. And he says, Adi yajnyoha mevatra dehe deha bhudam vara. He says, Adiyajnam is aham. That Adiyajnam is me. The Purusha Shadi Devadam. Purusha inside Adidevam. Andaryami. And everything that is getting destroyed is Adibhudam. Adibhudam Kshayobhavam. Purushaschadi Devadam. Adiyajnyoham evatra dehe deha vridam vara. Right? So, whatever karmam the body is doing, right, I am inside him as the person who is receiving all the results of the yajnam, adhipati. In other words, yajnam, to come to this realization is difficult, right? And that is why Krishna is saying that he brought karmam first in the Bhagavad Gita, did he not? Compared to bhakti or jnanam, he spoke about karmam. And this is an important aspect of Sanatana Dharma, that karmam has to be proper. We are not worried about this God or that God, who is God and all that. This is not our concern. Our concern is, how do I realize the self? Who am I? That's the answer, question, always. It's not. So, Krishna says, I am inside Adiyajnyoham evatra dehe dehamudamvara. One who is in the body, he has to recognize this first. That Adiyajnyoham, all yajnyam, I am the Adiyajnyam inside. Right? And he has to engage in karma with this awareness almost all the time. So, once it so happened, a guru called his disciples, all disciples together, right? And all of them are good disciples, right? They are all very good, loyal to him. But somehow or the other, the guru had identified one disciple with whom he had a special affinity. He had a little bit attachment for him, right? And obviously, this caused a problem with the other disciples. They became envious of him, right? So one day the guru told them that let me see whom among you is the one who has understood things properly, right? Because guru is always testing the children, right? To understand things sometimes at an early age is more difficult. Even now at this age, we are not understanding. Imagine when they are at the age of 10 and 12 to understand things, it's more difficult for them. For they are not even... Now we've gone through this. By the time we understand, time is over. This is the problem. By the time we understand the Shastram, our time is over. Now what can we do? We are in that situation. But in the Gurukulam, intelligent boys are there who have good background, coming from good situations, right? Able to think, and that means their mind is not too destroyed by the world outside. To a high degree of purity, therefore. So something is spoken, they will catch it straight away. They won't ask, the kutarkam won't come, asking all stupid questions like we do, and argue against it to prove that I am better than you. This won't be there in them so much. But still, in that age also, asuya can come, envy can come, right? So what he did, he brought a bag full of mangoes, and he gave to everyone each a mango, and told them that go with this mango, one mango he gave to each of the students, and told them, you go and eat this without anyone seeing it, and come back, he said. And he gave a mango to everybody, right? So everybody took the mango, they escaped from there, went to some isolated places, you know, underneath a tree where somebody will observe there, and they ate there, and they all came back, right? At different ways. They went to some room separately and they ate there so that nobody saw them, and they did that, what they were told, right? So, after everybody come back after that, so Guru asked them that, have you eaten, everybody eaten without anyone seeing that? He said to them, right? Everybody said, yes. We ate it without anyone seeing that. But this one disciple of him, whom he had this special connection, And he said that I couldn't eat it without anybody seeing that. And he came back with the mango. Right? So he realized that, he said to Guru, and wherever I go, there is one person inside watching me, Antaryami, right? And I can cheat anybody else outside, but how will I keep away from him noticing that, what I am doing, right? How can I shut his eyes, he said. So in other words, he was a little bit more subtle level, he could think. Shastram has influenced him. Is it not? Like in the 18th chapter, Krishna says, Sarvada Panivadam Dal, Sarvadoksha Shiromagam, Sarvada Shudimal Loge, Sarvam Avartya Drishtadi. You cannot shut Krishna's eyes. Krishna is everywhere. And that realization he had, to a large extent. So therefore he was thinking that way, how can I cover up from Krishna? He is seeing, going to see it. So he comes back, and Guru says to him, that this is the reason I have a little bit attachment for him, because he seems to understand the things. None of you have thought about this, he said. So, because of this, he won't be able to do anything in this life, the Guru said. Because this is his consciousness, state of consciousness, right? You can see in this world our nature, right? If Mahalmas has written some books, our tendency is, first thing is, how to change the book, edit it, and make it more user-friendly. This is, our mentality is like that. You will see this all the time happening, right? So, and similarly, if Shastram says something, we will look for a loophole in that. This is how we are, isn't it? If Shastram says something, we look for a loophole. Strictly speaking, Ekadashi, are we following strictly? No. We are not following Ekadashi strictly. Ekadashi has become a feast now. This is, our nature is like that, right? Ekadashi is supposed to be fasting all 10 senses and the mind. That's how this 11th one comes, isn't it? It's supposed to be under control. And then we say, no, Ekadashi feast, we say. And everything, Ekadashi cake, Ekadashi this, Ekadashi that, everything we have developed for Ekadashi. So how smart are we, isn't it? So Shastram says one thing, we will look for a loophole, how to overcome or override that in another way, right? So it is the same thing, like when we have a problem, we go to the lawyer to look for a way out, isn't it? All the rules are there. We have broken the law, but if you have to get around that, you go to the lawyer and he will advise you how to do it, right? And he will tell you that, so that won't work with Antaryami, right? If Antaryami is driving us every moment, right, then books or books are not required if you are following Antaryami rigidly, right? Or somebody else has to tell you from outside anything, because Antaryami will say from inside. And Krishna referred to that as Ananya Bhakti, to come to that stage, to take directly instructions from Antaryami, right? And without taking the shelter of anything outside, Anya Shrayanam Tyagaha Ananyaha. That is Narada Maharshi says in the Bhakti Sutra, right? Sometimes we say simple conscience, what says, right? And Antaryami is there in every action when we do, he is present there, right? And if you are come to that stage that you will only listen to Antaryami, nothing else, you can see that it will bring proper results. But we have got a problem there. We are not able to hear the Antaryami because of this thing called the mind inside. You look at animals, for example. As he said before, if a dog gets sick, does he go to hospital? He doesn't have an insurance cover. He doesn't go to a hospital, does it? you will see him, he'll go and eat something, some plant or something like that, right? Who gave him this idea? Or sometimes you will notice he will vomit things when it is sick, right? And you can see after a couple of days he's okay. He didn't go to NHS, he didn't go anywhere for any kind of treatment. Who did this? Antaryami does it. You see, Antaryami is there in everybody. But for them, Antaryami gives the direct instruction. They act only on the instruction of Antaryami. They have not developed. Whereas because we have got this mind inside, we have created such a very vast system of medical arrangements to protect this body, right? Remember a book I mentioned about Lakshman Sharma. Lakshman Sharma wrote that Nature Cure. He said this there. And right opposite his house, in another house, there was a cow which got sick, very sick, right? So as usual these days, they will call the vet doctor. Veterinary doctor comes and he did the treatment, gave the injections, everything. And a lot of, medicines were fed inside the cow, this and the other. It didn't get better, right? Doctor said that it would die in 1 or 2 days, he said. This was in the house who were living opposite to Lakshman Sharma, right? So at this stage, and every day Lakshman Sharma was observing what was happening to the cow, right? So after the doctor told them that this cow will die in a day or two, and they told Lakshman Sharma, this is what the doctor said. So Lakshman Sharma told them that at least you should listen to me now. You didn't listen to me till now, right? Just allow that cow to go freely, whatever it wants to do. Don't tie it down inside the goshala. Allow the cow to go wander around freely. And so they did that. Anyway, it's going to die in a day or two. Let it die, they thought like that, right? So what this cow did, as soon as the sun comes out, cow got a tendency. Cow wanted to go and lie in the sun. But they were tying down in the goshala and injecting everything into the cow. The cow went outside and it was lying in the sun. For 1 or 2 days it was lying there and it won't eat anything. 2-3 days it stayed like that in the sun. On the 4th day, it started drinking water. It wanted to drink water, right? And after a couple of days it started eating the grass again. And by the 10th day, the whole disease was gone. Krishna has certain arrangements with the animals and the birds and everything. It's not like his arrangement with us. We made it hellish, like the way we have created all these things. And has it improved anything? We are still dying, aren't we? We are still getting sick. So what's all this about, to talk about it so much? All these medicines, pharmaceutical industry, NHS, big doctors, and all these big hospitals, all the research work, all the journals, such a variety of things we have created, thinking that we will get it under control. But nothing has come under control. Still we are sick, still we are dying, are we not? So, and this is why this understanding is important, that Antaryami inside determines everything, right? Vedyo Vaidya Sada Yogi Viraha Madho Madhu. Vishnu Sahasranama says that Vedyo Vaidya Sada Yogi, he is the Vaidyam, he is the physician, he is the medicine, he is the treatment. Right? So even on a physical plane, when we say Antaryami is doing everything, and we are not aware of many things that is affecting our body, is not? Like prarabdham, we don't know, karma. And similarly, in a very subtle level, we have different problems, vasanas. And a lot of other troubles we are not aware of, right? But Antaryami knows all that things. That is why he can make better decisions than us. Like when we do things, we are not, sometimes you will see people, if the prarabdham side of it, our lifespan, how long we are meant to live. Similarly, all other sides to our health issues related to the body, which are unknown to us. What we know about this body is the medicines what we have to give, some symptoms we know about the body, and how to treat the body based on those symptoms. This is our approach, medical approach, is it not? Antaryami's approach is different. Antaryami takes into account everything, our prarabdham, our vasanas, and our conditions of the body, and so many other factors, because Antaryami is consciously aware of everything that is happening inside the body. That is why not to put all your faith in these medical systems. That would be a big blunder to think like that. And Antaryami also knows that what all I have to get through in this life, is keep that also into calculations. Suppose I have to suffer a lot due to some sinful activity. That could come through some disease in some form. All this knowledge is unknown to us when you are assessing the patient. The doctors doesn't know any of these things, is it not? And which one, when in life, should be brought in with sinful activity, sinful reaction? When should it come into this body and should give me trouble and pain and suffering? All these things, to know that, and when they should be activated, because they are all inside me in a subtle level. Is it not? All my sinful activities are present inside me in a subtle level. When they should be activated, all that knowledge only Antaryami has. Doctors don't have that. That is why often you will see this with many patients. Everything best they have done for the patient, patient died. It didn't work. And the doctors say, we have done everything what we can. And that's a fact. They have done everything what they know. That's a fact. There are many other things related to that life of that living entity to decide. So many cases all the time. Especially with cancer, stroke, everything, you see the same thing. That they will tell you a lot of halagula goes on about it, saying that we have done all these things, we got research done and proved this and proved that. And whole of YouTube and all, if you keep reading, every time nowadays, different doctors come and tell you that you should do this with your diet. If you eat these two fruits, your belly will completely come down. And all kinds of things. Every time you open YouTube, this comes. Some doctor from somewhere in the world, obviously YouTube is paying them, I understand that. But whatever it but when you see their approach, you can see that it is not flawless. There is defect in their system itself, the way they analyze this body. And they've analyzed the treatment, everything. So not to put complete faith in all these things, that's all. So, whereas, about Antaryami, what does say? Upanishad says, Ya Sarvajnaha, Ya Sarvavid. These two words, if you take it. Ya Sarvajnaha, Ya Sarvavid. That means, he knows everything about you. Disease is not only some mechanism failing in the body. You see, that's how we see the disease. Oh, I have eaten something wrong, that's why I got sick. No, what made you to eat something wrong? You should think that also. Isn't it? You say that I eaten something wrong, so I got sick. But then you have to think, what made you to eat such something wrong? What has prompted you from inside? You don't think that. So that is what I'm saying. That our body is controlled by Antaryami, and he knows the whole history behind it. This body, how this body has come to us, a particular type of body was given to us, right? That is why, yes, sarvajnaha. And not only that, whatever is happening in me or in you, sarvavidha, he knows everything about you. You won't be able to shut his eyes. Because he knows about you more than what you know about you. This is the situation with Antaryami. He knows about you more than what you know about yourself. Right? So that is what he is saying here. Sarvajnaha e sarvavid. And that Chaitanyam, Antaryami, who is present in everyone. So, even little things, what we don't know about us, right? every individual has their own destiny and how the life will end up in everybody's life, right? And if you may ask the question, is it possible to know like that, everybody? Yes, it is possible. Like the, you know, the GPS, what you put in the car when you drive, right? It says to you, turn left here, and then it says you turn right there, and the traffic light, you stop, and then things like that. How the GPS is guiding us from inside, from the outside, and you are driving on that basis, are you not? You don't have to look for the map or anything. You just put that thing on and then keep going. And whatever he says, you do it and you will get there at the end. In the same way. Antaryami inside is like that GPS who knows everything about us. Right? So, sarvajnaha, sarvavid. Right? And so, that GPS is something what we have developed with our little thing. Right? So, whereas Krishna Sarvajnatum is different. His Sarvajnatum is different, right? Sarvavid, right? And what we need, he will tell us inside, go do this, right? And what to do, where to go. And in things what we do not know, advice is that keep quiet if you don't know anything about it, right? And that is its method. Who? Antaryami's method is like that. Antaryami, see, we do all these things because of the mind, you see. The mind is telling us, if I don't do it, what will happen? And I take shelter of that mind instruction. I go by that. And therefore, I get into trouble at the end, which is also a known thing, right? Whereas Antaryami method is different. We have to wait till Antaryami tells us to do something. But that means that Antaryami's language, to understand that it takes time. Because we studied all the other languages, we lost that language. We studied English, Hindi, Tamil, Malayalam, all kinds of languages. And because of that, this language of the Antaryami, we have lost it. That's what has happened basically, right? So, just like Antaryami, which showed the dog the medicine, what it has to eat, or made the doctor vomit it out and got rid of the disease in the same way. And dogs, without any of these systems, they live their normal lifespan, 15, 20 years or something. And that's all they will live. They won't live more. After that. They're gone. You can take them to vet, you can insure them, you can do look after like your baby, 24 hours, hug them, do everything. It's not going to survive. It will go at the end, is it not? So, where is our influence in all these things, right? And if you go to the dog and says, no, let me take you to the vet, and the dog is, the doctor says, what have you eaten today? The dog won't say anything. He'll just look at you like this, thinking, what are you doing with me here? That's what the dog is thinking about it, right? So, but this language of the Antaryami, and to understand Antaryami's direction, it does take time, right? So when you start doing that, able to take instructions from Antaryami, that is called ananyata. Ananyato. Ananyato means that, right? So we cannot do it on day one, but as much as possible, if you develop that nature, it is very helpful, beneficial in life, this ananyato. That means let Krishna decide what is the right thing and being dependent on him. And if things go wrong, let it go wrong that way. This is the approach of the great devotees. They've all lived on this. If you look at Maharshi and all, they were trying to bring doctors to him. Maharshi said, what can they do? He says, what can they do with this body? That was his approach. Paramahamsa also did the same thing. They didn't want to see these doctors and all that because they see body differently. Differently, right? So, somebody asked about this, that how should we think? How should we think? Maharshi told him, this is in that book, we can read that. He said, thinking is not your nature, he said. Thinking is from the mind. right? That is not our swabhav, right? If you stay quiet without thinking, the guidance will keep coming from inside. I know we won't understand all this when Maharshi is saying these things, right? So that is why that nischala tattvam, nischalada, that everything stops, the mind stops, nischalada comes. Nischalada tattva jivan mukti, he said. So jivan mukti stage means no thought waves inside. Thoughts don't keep coming, right? At the moment thoughts are coming all the time. Right. So when will that come? When it will come, when the thought stops and that sarvajnyatvam comes from the andaryami. When the andaryami, that sarvajnyatvam in the andaryami starts coming out, that's when you recognize the power of andaryami. So, but for that, you have to know that andaryami is sarvajnya. That faith and strength has to come from inside us. Right? Spiritual life is like that, yeah? We may not see, the problem with us is, I'll tell you what the problem is. Problem is that we are used to this organized way of doing things, is it not? And we are organizing spiritual life also in the same way. But if you look into great personalities in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam, spiritual life did not start for them like the way we are doing it. They didn't come to spiritual life in that way. Have you looked at that? Look at so many instances, I can tell you. If you study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, they didn't begin spiritual life like the way we have begun. We started spiritual life when we met a devotee, he gave you a Bhagavad Gita, you read the Bhagavad Gita, then you also felt that you have to take to read, following Bhagavad Gita. This is how we are doing it, right? This is our normal method. People come to some institution, get some one or two books, he takes it home, he reads it, and then he thinks that maybe I should take more benefit from that. Then he comes to the temple, and then he gets participated. And then you become a volunteer and gradually you make progress. And from volunteer to a non-initiated bhakta. And then you get initiated. You become a proper bhakta. And then you become a brahmachari. And like that, a step-by-step organized arrangement, right? You don't see that in any of the shastram like that. This is, modern world has done it that way. Shastram look at it this way, right? Krishna and Arjuna were good friends, right? They were very good friends. Sakhava, they call it as, isn't it? Krishna never spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna till Arjuna was ready. You see that? Till Arjuna was ready, Krishna didn't speak Bhagavad Gita. Never spoke about the soul, never spoke about anything. He went along with Arjuna for a long period of time in life. Waited right up to the old age. When Mahabharata war happened, in the battlefield, when Arjuna was ready for it, that's when he spoke Bhagavad Gita. Spiritual life is like that. We have to be ready for it. We are not ready yet. We are doing all these kind of things. We are doing chanting, we are going on Harinam, we are distributing prasadam, and we are going to Salsangam. Everything in a very structured way. Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, Salsangam. Rest of the day is family life or whatever other things we are doing, like or job or whatever. So everything is in an organized way. We are going on day after day after day, right? And we think, oh, I'm doing spiritual life, okay. No, it's not that way. That's not how spiritual life is. Spiritual life is something in life has to happen in such a way. A situation has to happen that you need spiritual life. That situation has to come. You have to be hit so hard for that. And that hit Arjuna very badly, that war. He had to wait till then. Till then, Krishna never opened his mouth. Never spoke one word. And do you know what happened at that time? When Krishna is observing everything. He is inside Arjuna's heart also. So Arjuna says to Krishna, Arjuna and Duryodhana went to see Krishna first, right? And Duryodhana wanted Arjuna, Krishna's army, Narayani Sena. Krishna said, you can have that. Arjuna said, I want Krishna. There itself, Mahabharata war is decided. At that moment itself, Mahabharata war is decided. The way Arjuna said that, the way Krishna, Duryodhana said that, from that itself you can understand the mind of both the people. One is demoniac nature, who? Duryodhana. The other one is divine nature, Krishna, Arjuna. Arjuna wanted Krishna. Duryodhana wanted the army. So there itself decision has already made who is going to be the winning. But anyway, later on, after the war was decided and it was Duryodhana, a lot of negotiations happened before the war. They were more cultured people, not like us, the animals. Right now it's like animals it is, isn't it? No principles, no values, killing anyone and everyone in the name of nationality. You're killing millions of people for what? What kind of buddhi is that? Yeah. But they were more intelligent and more cultured in that way. And because they followed Varnashram seriously. And therefore, they won't go and kill people without any reason behind it. Right? So there they knew that a war has to happen. It was all organized way, everything, in the sense that both the armies were given time to organize themselves and organize their soldiers. So Duryodhana had a much more powerful army and Arjuna had a much smaller army, right? And when they brought, if you look into the Bhagavad Gita, you will see all these things, interesting things, that when Arjuna told Krishna to be the charioteer, Krishna said, yes, no problem, I could be your charioteer. To drive the chariot, any job he is happy to do it. Washing the feet of the rishis, Krishna is willing to do that. In the Rajasuyam, he showed that, is he not? He was washing the feet of the rishis in the Rajasuyam. That's why to understand Krishna takes time. Krishna's nature is different. So Krishna takes Arjuna in the chariot and goes there, parks the chariot, and Krishna is observing Arjuna all the time while doing it. Arjuna says, he sent you, Ratham Sabai Machura, park my chariot here. Deliberately, Krishna, knowing Arjuna, parked him right in front of Bhishma and Drona. And in front of them. Deliberately did that. And as soon as Bhishma and Drona, these are the two persons with whom Arjuna had a tremendous weakness. Arjuna, as soon as he saw Bhishma, because his respect for Bhishma is so high, he's the great grandfather, is it not, of the whole Kauravas, right? And then Drona is the teacher, Acharya. So when Krishna put Arjuna in front of them, immediately Arjuna sunk there itself. His mind, he completely sunk, fell down there. He couldn't do anything. And then he started speaking to Krishna that Krishna is saying to Arjuna, look at Arjuna, all the people who have come for to fight the war. And the idea was that to make Arjuna feel more weak from that. And Arjuna was feeling the weakness. He was hitting hard by that. And Arjuna said to him, to Krishna, that I'm not going to fight, he said. And there is whole first chapter in the Bhagavad Gita is Arjuna's realizations. And Krishna is mocking him there. Krishna didn't say one word in the first chapter. Have you noticed? In the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he didn't speak one word, right? He made Arjuna to speak. Let him speak. Whatever nonsense, Krishna knew that's all nonsense, what he was speaking. Arjuna was talking nonsense, right? So, when the second chapter began, first what Krishna did was, he gave one slap on one cheek, another slap on the other cheek. That's the two famous verses there. Klaibhyam asmagama partha. Kshudram Hrade Daurbhalyam Tekto Tishta Parandapa. Right? Kutastva Kashmalamidam. Those verses, right? Krishna said that there were the two slaps on Arjuna's face to make him realize that you are nonsense, basically. He's telling him, you are just nonsense, right? Whatever you have spoken is also nonsense. So, after saying all that, Arjuna started realizing that there is something wrong with me. Till then he didn't realize it. He was always thinking, I am on the top of the world, I am the best archer, nobody can challenge me. But then why did I could not fight the battle? He realized at that point, right? So you can see a situation hasn't come in life when you are receptive to the knowledge. When Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was not receptive before. But that proper receptivity came to him at that moment in the battlefield. Till then it didn't happen to him. It is the same thing if you look at others as well. Look at Vidura, for example. Vidura, after seeing all these Kshatriya problems, right? Problems with Kshatriya is they are into sense gratification in a big way. They are all have many wives and they like power, controlling others. This is their nature, is it not? It is in the Bhagavad Gita what Kshatriya nature is. That they like opulent lifestyle, control of others, dhanam, ishvara bhavascha, kshatra karma svabhavajam. That ishvara bhavam is in them. It is the rajogunam in them is like that. Because they are not pure sattugunam like the brahmana is. So ishvara bhavam is in them. And similarly, acquiring wealth for them is important. Ruling the land, ruling the people. This is their nature is like that. Kshatra svabhavam, right? So Vidura is a Shudra by birth. He is considered as a Shudra, right? Even though he is Dharmam, comes. He observed this nature of the Kshatriyas. And then he felt, although his wife was a nice devotee, and Krishna loved their home, Krishna didn't even stay with Duryodhana. When he came to negotiate, he went and stayed with Vidura. He chose Vidura because he felt more comfortable with Vidura. And you can see how Vidura and Vidurarani, Vidura's wife, they together received Krishna, looked after him, and Krishna appreciated their bhakti very much. And then Vidura, who had a comfortable home, a devotional wife, and all the facilities at home, decided to walk away from there. Because situation has changed inside him. For 36 years, he wandered around the whole Bharatabhumi, Bharatavarsha, on a pilgrimage, trying to understand this world. That's Vidura. Trying to understand this world, right? After walking around all over, he comes back to Prabhasam and came to know that Krishna has gone away, left the world. And then he thought that he will go and see, before he goes back to see Dhritarashtra, he wanted to go and see the gopis in Vrindavanam, and he comes there to Vrindavanam. Krishna's arrangement, Yadurchaya, Uddhava happened to be there at that time. Because Uddhava was on his way back to Badrinath, Krishna has told him to go there. And they were brought together by Krishna's arrangement, who Uddhava and Vidura. When that meeting happened, Vidura noticed a big change in Uddhava. Effulgent and full of spiritual realizations, and the way Uddhava was moving impressed Vidura so much. He saw the big change in Uddhava. So Vidura says to Uddhava, "What has happened to you?" Then Uddhava says to Vidura, "What has happened? Krishna has left. And before he left, he instructed me about the knowledge of the self. And it has affected me." Uddhava says, Uddhava is a great devotee. But after receiving Ekadesha Skandam knowledge, how it transformed Uddhava. And that change or transformation in Uddhava, Vidura noticed that. Vidura was so affected by that. Vidura says to Uddhava, give me that instruction, what you got from Krishna. Right? Uddhava says to Vidura, "I am not the person for you. I have another mission to fulfill. I have to go to Badrinath. I am on my way there. But I know one thing, that before Krishna left this world, he has instructed Maitreya Maharshi. He is in Haridwar. He will instruct you. And Krishna has told Maitreya to instruct you," he said. So you can see the divine arrangement behind everything. They were not going through like our system, organized system. It all happened in their life. Vidura was ready for it, right? So before Vidura came to Maitreya, Vidura had to go through a lot of things in life to receive the proper knowledge what Krishna has given to Uddhava, but it has come through Maitreya Maharshi to Vidura. So that is why you see the questions what Vidura asked to Maitreya when he got to Haridwar, right? So from all these things you can understand that in spiritual life it is not that I organize everything and it will all happen in a particular way. That is not how it is. Then why do we do sadhana? Sadhana, there is only one reason. If you do a lot of sadhana, you won't do any other nonsense. That's all. That's the main purpose of sadhana. Suppose you are chanting. Otherwise our sadhana and all, if it's going to bring Krishna here, it would have come long ago. Sadhana is not for that purpose. Sadhana is only for this reason, that you don't do any nonsense. At least at that time you won't do nonsense. Otherwise what will you do? You listen to the mind. Mind will tell you, watch telly. There is some nice program on the telly or some newspaper or go somewhere on a nice holiday. Things like that. All kinds of ideas will come from inside. In order that you don't go after the mind, listen to the mind so much, to discipline the mind, sadhanas are given. Yeah. So, so the thing is that the Antaryami, what I was saying to you was that spiritual life cannot be organized. Spiritual life is Krishna's mercy, it is. It has to come in its own format. And for that, first thing is that the person who has to have this knowledge, he has to be ready for it. And how does one get ready? When suffering comes in life. When you get a lot of suffering in life and vairagyam comes in, you become a little bit more inward looking. And that is one of the qualifications for that, this vairagyam. Vairagyam is a qualification for that. Yeah. So, in Patanjali Yoga Sutram, he is saying here that this sarvajnyatvam in Antaryami, Antaryami knows everything, right? Nisamshaya tatra sarvajnyatvam bijam niratishayam, says Patanjali. Patanjali says about that, right? Means that in that sarvajnyatvam, that means this all-knowing nature, potency in Krishna, right? And we don't know that sarvajnyatvam, isn't it? Sarvajnyatvam means to know everything, right? What we know is little bit of things here and there. That's what we know, right? Patanjali says, niratishayam tatra sarvajnyatvam bijam, he says. That is the seed of that. The seed is this sarvajnyatvam, knowing everything about everybody. That only he has, Antaryami has, right? And this amazing thing of knowing everything about one jiva, everything, right, is in that sarvajnyatvam. It is niratishayam, says Patanjali. So Antaryami is glorified like this by Patanjali. Antaryami is glorified by Kapila Maharshi also. Antaryami is glorified in the Upanishad also. And Bhagavad Gita also says the same thing. You see? So, this one principle, Antaryami's influence, we are not able to understand. Some or the other, that's how it is. Even though it is there in the Bhagavad Gita spoken strongly, still we are doubtful about all that, is it not? And we still think, is there an Antaryami there? And we are not able to get to know him well either. They give this example that, in the olden days when there was no electricity, maybe you're not familiar with that, when we were children, there was no electricity at home. So there will be 5 or 6 lamps. So mother will clean up every day in the afternoon before the evening comes. Because when this kerosene was used, right, kerosene burns and it will have smoke. And the smoke will cover the whole glass. The lamp will be covered with the wick will be there, and on top of that there is a glass covering that, right? So the smoke will catch, cover everything, and afterwards the light will diminish. The emitting light emission will come down. So every day, sometime in the afternoon or so, before the evening comes, darkness comes, you have to wipe out all the smoke from the glass, and fill it with the kerosene oil and ready for the evening, for lighting and for different rooms you keep. There won't be so much light like we have now. We have, nowadays if you walk, there's some light comes on from everywhere. You can't even walk anywhere. From which side which light is going to come? It has come to that. It's not. When you go outside, you see, you have to, even if you want to walk quietly without giving any trouble, all the lights of all the houses will come on. By the time you get to the main road, about 50 lights would have come on by then. From all the houses, one or two lights will come off. So that's how it is. But them days, it was not like that. It was dark everywhere. Only when the sun comes, you have light. We have no street lights, right? There was no street light. Only these lamps at home, that was only light that was there. But there was, it was better that way, because this situation now is frightening. It is. You can't go anywhere. Every time you're walking, suddenly something comes on. That. And not one side, from three sides. Everybody should know that I'm walking through that. So that's how it is. So therefore, Patanjali is saying there, Prakasha Avarana Kshayam, he says, it's like that, he says, that Avaranam, that smoke goes away, the light comes off from the lamps properly, right? Similarly, Andaryami is inside, but the Avaranam is inside, which is the mind. When the mind is there, Andaryami, you will never know his existence there. That is why we are not able to experience anything, say anything about Andaryami. If you tell people outside about Andaryami, they will say, what are you talking about? They won't be able to understand that, right? But when Avaranam goes away, Prakasham comes. When the smoke goes away, light comes, right? So, if we accept the presence of Andaryami is there inside, and all the karmam, if we do like that, right, then you will one day start realizing his presence, provided you do it like that. Great personalities have recognized this, right? In the Narayaniyam, he says this. Our Velpathur said this. You know how he puts it? When Ekadasha Skandam, when he started summarizing, on the first day, he said, after the 10th canto was over, on the 11th canto began, Ekadasham summarizing is very difficult compared to other cantos, right? Because the Siddhantam is in the Ekadasham. What is Bhagavad Gita like? Similar, all the knowledge is in the 11th canto. Krishna's direct instructions to Uddhava, isn't it? Upadesham it is. So, summarizing a pastime is easier. Killing the demons or all the other pastimes in the Bhagavadam. Summarizing them is easier. Because Narayani is a summary of Bhagavadam it is, right? So, for example, Prahlada story, which is 7th canto completely, right? Rasham Dharmam, everything. When it came to Narayaniyam, Velpathur summarized it into 20 verses, two chapters, 20 verses, right? Only the essence he has extracted and put that in his own language, he put that in. And Krishna loved that, and that is why he was saying there that at the end of 10th canto, when he finished, he was trying to conclude that, because he said, I could not summarize Ekadasham like this. And that night, when he went to sleep, Krishna went inside in the dream and gave him a good smack. Before he left the temple the day before, because he couldn't spend a lot of time at the temple, he was suffering from arthritis, body was full of pain. So he'll come in the morning around 7 o'clock and sit there for about an hour or two maximum, compile 8 or 10 verses, and then he will go home and lie down rest of the day, because he was suffering from his illness, right? So, when 10th canto was over, he concluded Bhagavadam there and decided that tomorrow I'll come and hand it over to Krishna. That was the decision. Krishna knew that he had no plans to summarize the 11th and 12th cantos. Krishna knew that, right? So what did Krishna do? That night he went to Melpathur in the dream and gave him a good smack and told him, what's your plan? He said to him. He is dreaming, he's sleeping, But in the dream, Krishna is talking to him. What's the plan, he said. Melpathur said that I cannot do anything anymore because Ekadasha Skandam is very difficult to summarize it. Unless you tell me what to write, then I can say this, he said. And suddenly Krishna disappeared and then Melpathur woke up from the sleep. By the time he woke up, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. And then, as usual, he got ready and he went into the temple. And that is how Ekadasham begins in the Narayaniyam. It's a beautiful verses they are. Yeah? So, Bhakti's glory, he started talking about it. Nimina Vayogi Samvada. He summarized it in the first verses. Verses started flowing from him like anything. Because Krishna is sitting right in front of him and telling him to write. And he is writing and verses are coming freely. He could not believe himself that this was able to come up, speak like that. When he did all that, in the next chapter, when he was summarizing the Nimina Yogi Samvadam, and then the 24 spiritual masters were going to come out, he mentions this, that that the this control, he said, Bandhusneham Vijakhyam, what Uddhava's Krishna is saying to Uddhava, right? Tundu Sarvam Bharitya. That message is, he has brought into this verse. Because they are the key verses there, you see. Where Krishna is saying to Uddhava, that 5-6 verses, I mentioned that before, right? So those verses he summarized and put that in the first verse itself. And he said, all the 24 spiritual masters in that one chapter. And then the Tatvajnanam he spoke. Everything he mentioned like that. And then he said, he said that, spoke about bhakti. In the 92nd chapter, he spoke about bhakti. And in that chapter, he spoke about bhakti mixed with karma. Like Krishna is doing here. Karma mishra bhakti is spoken, right? And he said there, Vedai sarvani karmani abhala bharataya varnidani idi buddhva tani to yarpidani evahi samanujaran yani naishkarmya mishe. Ma budver dver nishidher kuhajidabhimana karma vajam pravurtir durvarjam chedavaptam tadabhikalubhavatyarpaye chilpragashem. He says to Krishna, Melpathur says to Krishna that the karma that comes through this body, right, has to be done accepting the Andaryami's presence inside. Vede, whatever karma that is spoken in the Vedam, Vede sarvani karmani, yeah, sarvani karmani, abhala bharataya, without expectation of any results. He says, Madhupatra says, Vede sarvani karmani, abhala bharataya, without expectation of any results, varnidani idi buddhva, that you must not make me to do any karma that is not allowed by the Veda. Karma, you know, karma, vikarma, akarma. Karma that is spoken in the Veda, allowed by the Veda, is karma. What is not allowed by the Veda is akarma, vikarma. And if you don't do the karma, what is prescribed for you, it is akarma. That is how this akarma, vikarma, karma, you have to understand that also, where it's coming from. What Vedam says you are allowed to do, what's prescribed by the Vedam, is karma. And what is not allowed by the Vedam, what you do based on your mind and according to your taste, if you go and do things, that's all vikarma it is. Right? Similarly, that karma, what you do, what you are supposed to do, if you don't do it, it's akarma. It's akarma. Right? So first thing what he said to Krishna was, what Vedam has said, that I shouldn't do it, I should not do it. Don't make me do that, he said. Vede sarvani karmani abala bharadaya varnidani idi buddhva. But by some reason, if something happened in my life without our knowledge, I have done something due to situations, either with my mind or with my body, then he is saying, durvarjam ched avaptam tadabi khalu bhavet arpaye chil prakashe. He says, I will offer that everything to you. If anything has happened like that, means he is apologizing to Krishna, that if any karma comes through my mind or body without my knowledge, which is not in line with the Vedam, if something happens that way, then I offer that to you. Arpaye chil prakashe, he said. So, offering to Andaryami, in other words, who is present inside as the, in our heart as the Andaryami, right? In this way, offering karmam to Andaryami becomes a nitya yajnam, nitya agnihotram. It says like that. Nitya agnihotram, right? So, this is the way principle is that every karma that comes through this body, mind, everything, offering to Krishna, it has to come. That is becomes when it becomes a yajnam, nitya yajnam, nitya agnihotram, it says. And it is based on that, all these things. So this agnihotram, prior to this bhakti yoga, is spoken in this way, that as a introduction to bhakti yoga, Krishna has spoken about karma in this way, the way what we are seeing all these verses, what we have spoken about, right? If we look into the Bhagavad Gita, that verse what Krishna says there, 12:6. Yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara ananyeva yogena mam dhyayantam upasade. Sarvani karmani, Krishna is saying there. Offering to me, sarvani karmani, right? And then my sannyasa madpara, he says. Then madpara. Madpara means dependent on me, surrender to me. Madpara means total surrender. Sarvani karmani my sannyasya. All karma offered to Krishna and then surrender to Krishna. Offer all karma to Krishna and then surrender to Krishna. Sarvani karmani my sannyasya, madpara. Ananyeneva yogena, mam dhyayantam upasade. So this sarvani karmani means, it includes that karma, what is not allowed. Nishiddha karma, forbidden things, right? And Krishna is saying that, sarvani karmani includes this nishiddha karma as well. And if you do that, malpara, surrender to me, then what does that mean? It means without kartrutva bhoktrutva. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Without that, always situated in yourself, in your spiritual identity, right? And meditating on the Andaryami inside, one who is busy in his field of karma in that way, he is established in the Andaryami. Krishna is saying that, right? Such a person, you see, you look at that verse, yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya, one who has given up all the karma as an offering to me, who is doing that, and then matpara, and surrendered to me totally. In such a person, Krishna is saying the next verse, tesham aham samudharta mrityu samsara sagara bhavami najiral partha maya veshita chedasam. Those two are connected to each other. Verse 6 and 7. One who has sarvani karmani, my sannyasya, has given up for surrender to me, that means he is performing this yajnam, all the time he is doing the karmam, recognizing that Andaryami is doing it through the body and the mind. It's not for me. Andaryami is doing it. That way, if you have to offer all the karmam to Andaryami, that is what that means. Yedu sarvani karmani. Whether it is wrong things, for example, lot of things what we do in life is wrong things, is it not? We know it is wrong, but still we are forced to do it, is it not? See, modern, nowadays, there is a lot more new jobs, isn't it? What didn't exist before. When we were children, there was only, farming was the only job. Everybody lived on the farm, growing food. And a little bit of trade, few shops were there to buy few things. Those things existed. Beyond that, there was no other industry and all that. This whole industrial world is Vikarmam, it is. We know that. And all the things centered around that Vikarmam is all the other things. Insurance and investment brokers and this, that, all sorts of nonsense going on. So you can see how Vikarmam has become the whole world now. Whole world is working on this Vikarmam. So is there any wonder what things are going the way it's going now? It's not surprising at all, is it? After doing all the Vikarmam, then you want to be happy, peaceful life in this world. How is that possible? That's not possible. So Vikarmam is there. Some Vikarmam may happen. Now a lot of Vikarmam happen. So Krishna's point is, Edu Sarvani Karmani, even if that includes Vikarmam, my sannyasya, malpara, then he is saying there, so if that Vikarmam, if it is performed in that way, that means Antaryami has put me into this situation, I'm doing that. It's not that I love it, but Antaryami has put me into this situation, therefore I'm doing that with this awareness, and therefore with the results also I'm not so particular, whatever comes I'll take it, but if the results actually should go to the Antaryami, because he is the doer, who is the one who is doing it. So, Yedu Sarvani Karmani, that is my sannyasya means, right? And then after that, Matpara. And then he has surrendered to me at the end, after doing all these things. He has done this, Yedu Sarvani Karmani, my sannyasya he has done. Then he has done Matpara, he has surrendered to me. If he does all that, then Krishna is saying, Tesham Aham Samudhartha, I will take care of him. That is the agreement, right? Tesham Aham Samudhartha, I will get him out from that cycle of birth and death. Mrityu samsara sagarat bhavami ajral partha mai aveshita chetasam. He said that. So that relationship is to be understood in that way, right? Gradually, I will make him free from that karma and install him in that state of the cycle of birth and death. And Krishna says, that's my responsibility at that time. Once he has done that, then it is my responsibility. Krishna is saying that, right? Oh, that is why Krishna has got this name, Satyapradam, isn't it? Satyapradam, Satyaparam, Trasatyam. That word, Sindhi Bhagavatam, is coming from that. Satyapradam. What he says, he will honor it. That's Krishna's position, right? So, what is this Satyapradatvam? Satyapradatvam means that Krishna is saying, saving a jiva from this cycle of birth and death, it's my responsibility. Krishna says, right? So, when you ask about bhakti, right? Ramanujacharya says this, isn't it? That rakshishya iti vishwasaha, that he will always protect me, that faith. Same thing from them, that bhakti, you know, they have taken that, same thing. And in his sharanagati, he uses the same word. Rakshishya sarvadohantam, always Krishna will protect me. That awareness inside, under all circumstances, right? So, from jiva's side, what is required? This faith. That Krishna will protect. Rakshishya sarvadohantvam. Right? Rakshishya idi vishwasaha. Right? That Krishna will protect me, and that faith, vishwasam, is right, is the mercy of Antaryami. Antaryami's mercy is that. If you get that faith, that Krishna will protect me, that faith is Antaryami's blessing. Right? And that is bhakti. When you get that faith, that's bhakti. That's bhakti, right? That means you become fearless. You become fearless when that faith comes in Antaryami. You become fearless then, that Antaryami will take care of everything. I don't have to be worried about it. So, we'll have a short break. Cheto darpanamarjanam vomaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakai davachandriya vidaranam vidyavadu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradivada purnamrada swadanam sarvapna supanam varam vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam nam namagari bahudanija sarva shakti स्मरणेन काल एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममापि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहाजनितानुरागाः तृणारभीषणी चेन तरोरभि सहिष्णुना अमानिरामानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि मथनम् न जनम् न सुन्दरीम् कविताम् वा जगदीश कामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरे भवदाद्भक्तिरहै दुहित्वे अयि नन्दतनुजकिङ्गराम् पतिताम् मां शमे भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितधौली सदृशम् विचिन्तया नयनम् गलदश्रुधारया वदनम् गद्गदरुद्धया गिर कुलगैर्निजिरम् कदा बभू तव माग्रहणे भविष्यति आयुधम् निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायुधम् शिन्यायुधम् जगल् सर्वम् गोविन्द विरहेण मे पादरदाम् विनष्टमाम् अदर्शनाम् मर्महदाम् करोतु वा यथा तदा वा विदधातुलम् मल्प्राणनाथास्तु न एव नापरा सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द तेषामहं समुद्धार्थ मृत्यु संसार सागराल् भवामि न चिदाल्पार्थ मय्यावेशित चेतसाम् दट् वास् दि सेवेन्थ् वर्स् कृष्ण सेड् दट् राइट् सो वाट् कृष्ण इस् सेयिङ्ग् दट् येतु सर्वाणि कर्माणि मयि सन्न्यस्य मल्परा अनन्येनैव योगेन मां ध्यायन्तम् उपासते सच् अ पर्सन् कृष्ण सेस् ऐ विल् ऐ टेक् द रेस्पान्सिबिलिटि आफ् दट् पर्सन् right and he will not he will become free from the cycle of birth and death he said that right so that faith vishwasam rakshishe idi vishwasah that vishwasam that's a big blessing from the andaryami andaryami's greatest blessing is that he will protect me That faith, if he gives that to us, right? And there are so many stories about this. Jnanasambandha's case, if you take that. He was only a little child. And the situation was so bad in Tamil Nadu at that time. Whole of Dravida Desham, because the Jains have taken control everywhere. And it was a very peculiar situation in the sense that both Tirunavakarasa and Jnanasambandha, he was an old person, 80-year-old. Jnanasambandha was 4 or 5 years old, a child. They were living at the same time. And they were trying to bring bhakti back. You see how Vedic knowledge is always protected by Krishna's arrangement. It's not by preaching it survived. Preaching was not the one that kept the Vedic knowledge in this world. It was always the divine protection from Krishna. Krishna knows if Vedic knowledge has to stay in this world, he'll make arrangements for that. Somehow or the other, things will develop in that way. So, Mathura, the city now, that was Pandya's headquarters that time. And that was all under Jain's control. Jains took over all that, right? And Jain religion, normally it's a good one in the sense they believe in non-violence to a large degree, and very austere, both these things. Austerity, they're very strong at that, and also at the being non-violent, they're very particular about that, right? But the same Jainism has become very cruel at that time. Like everywhere else, it happens. Became very cruel, right? And those who are not in their sampradaya, they will punish them, torture them, and kill them, right? These Jain Munis, they were doing that. Right? Apparently at that time in Madhura, around Madhura, there was 8,000 Jaina Viharam was there. Jainism was completely taken over everywhere, right? And they also controlled the king, because there were so many of them. They controlled the king, right? And using him, his support, they were killing others who were not come to the Jain faith. This is how bad it was, right? So this Tirunavakarishi was also a Jain sannyasi. He was also a Jain sannyasi, right? And he gave up that and came back to Shaivism again. To Shiva's devotee, right? And and he also got into a lot of trouble with the Jain religion, right? And many people are giving him trouble, right? He was a devotee of Lord Shiva, right? And he left Jainism and came back to Shaiva Siddhantam, to Shaiva religion, right? And because of that, the servants of the king came, caught him. Because he became a Jain, the king has become a Jain, you see. And caught him and took him and put him in a box full of this, what do they call, you know, for the whitewashing?
Lime.
And you pour hot water into it and the lime starts burning. So if you leave a person inside that, what will happen is that you won't even see his bones. Bones will also get burned in that. Totally, only it will end up like ashes-like thing, right? And that means, whereas if you set fire with the firewood, the bones will be there. But if you put them in this line, you see how much religion can degenerate. It can go in that direction. Here also it was happening in another level here. It has happened there also, I'm saying, that people can do such horrible things. So, and you will, so that what that means is, what Prahlada had to go through with Hiranyakashipu is not much different when you read all these things, what has happened to Tirunavakarishi and all that, right? Similarly, if you look at Mirabai's history also, you will see the same thing repeating. Mirabai was given a lot of trouble by his family members and the society altogether, right? So, and it was quite common them days. One of the punishment was you tie your body to a very heavy granite stone and you take them into the deep ocean and drop you down inside. What will you do? You'll die very quickly. You see, go underneath the water because the weight of the stone will drag you down. Underneath the water you're forced to stay. And you can't breathe. How long can you stay? You'll die. That was the situation, right? So in the name of religion, sannyasis, politics was also involved, and they will influence the king. King was also bought by them, and they threw him into the ocean in that way, right? And they were saying that, and the devotees were saying, we are not even frightened about Yama. That's how they strong they were, right? Similarly, Upper Swami, he has also come back from Jain religion. He was also converted, right? Apar, Jnanasambandar, and Sundaramurti Swami, they were all Nayanmars, famous Shiva devotees, right? And and so, in this situation, Tirunavakarishi and others, Apar also was praying that they need some help from the higher plane. Somebody has to come. Like you can see with the same with Advaita Acharya, praying to Krishna to come, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, right? And you look at Rupa Goswami's and Sanatana Goswami's life, you can see that their spiritual life was also not organized. The situation became so unbearable. At that time, they were looking for a shelter. And then Mahaprabhu comes there and took them out from that situation and sent them to Vrindavan. All that thing happened later. So you can see in spiritual life, when it happens to great personalities, it always happened, not in a planned way, from divine intervention. When divinity intervenes in that, that's when it happened. Like we saw in Vidura's case. Like we saw in Arjuna's case. And same thing with the Goswamis also. All that Goswamis. They realized it, that they needed help badly, and they surrendered. When the surrender was good inside, Tesham Aham Samudharta, then Krishna comes and takes over everything after that. So, so it is like this, all these personalities, Tirunava Krishna, upper and all that, they have prayed to Krishna, to Shiva, to help. And that is how this personality, Jnanasambandhar, came. Jnanasambandhar came like that. He didn't stay very long. By the age of 16, he was gone from this world. Stayed only up to 16. And after that, he left. He didn't stay, right? So, and he started his mission when he was 3.5 years old, Jnanasambandhar, right? And because if you start a little later, there's more problems, right? And because if you get older, the body gives you trouble. It's difficult to do things, right? And in the young age, the mind is giving you trouble. In 3.5 year old child wants to preach bhakti. 3.5 year old child wants to preach bhakti, right? And at the age of 8, that is one, at that, when he was 8 years old, a representative came from the Pandya kingdom asking him to come to, because what happened was the Pandya king's wife, she was a devotee, right? And she was feeling sorry about the situation, how the Jains have taken over everything, and they were against the bhakti. The Jains were against bhakti. And the king has also fallen into the trap. And she was thinking about it, how to get out of this situation. She was all the time meditating on that, right? So she managed to find someone to go, and she heard about Jnanasambandhar, appearance of Jnanasambandhar, and he wanted Jnanasambandhar to come to the palace and speak to the king about the authority of the Vedam. Because all these sampradayams have to question the authority, like Buddha did. Jains also did. Question the authority. They all come from the Vedic tradition. Lot of the philosophies from the Vedam. But they won't accept the authority of the Vedam. That was the problem with Buddha. That is the same problem with Jain also. Right? So, these people, what they did, they have bulldozed all the Shiva temples, Vishnu temples, and smashed them down. Everything. Right? And they won't allow either Vibhuri or the Tilak. Jains won't allow any of those things, right? In this way, present way, Jainamadam is more peaceful than about it. But at that time, it happened in this way, right? That's the history anyway. So, if they heard the holy names of Shiva or Narayana, for 10 days, they won't eat anything. To such an extent. Because they are very, very, very rigid. Too rigid. In that way, right? And they were controlling the king as well. This was the situation, right? And the queen is a pure devotee of Shiva. This was the situation there, right? So, she has come from Choladesham. And this is Pandidesham, right? So, she was born in that tradition of devotion, bhakti, everything, right? And because she was married here, due to this, you know how the royal families are, for they tie up each other. If you look in India, all the royal families are tied to each other through marriage. They'll marry the girl from one, like Patiala kingdom married the daughter to the king in Travancore and things like that. They were all married to each other. Among the royal families, that's their system of keeping that royalty going, right? So, she was suffering because of the situation there. And somehow or the other, she wanted to change the heart of the king. And for that, she sent this representative, very confidential representative, to bring Jnanasambandhar there. Right? And Jnanasambandhar, as soon as he got the news, to ask, inviting him to come, he decided to travel, this four-year-old child, you know, she decided to travel here with him. Representative, right? And Tirunavakarashi told him not to go. said that the time is not right to go because of the planets are not this position, right? And and he also told them that they have put me in that box of lime, and when they can do the same thing to you if they see you, right? He was a little older, 8 years by now, right? And he said these 9 planets, Navagraha, they are not favorable at this stage, right? So, Jnanasambandha was not concerned about all these things, even though Tirunavakasha told him all these things, right? So, he's saying there that for me, it's all the same, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the 7 days are the same. He said, Antaryami Shiva is inside us, Antaryami, why should I worry? That is how strong he was, this Antaryami strength inside, right? And when he came to Mathura, right, and the strength in Jnanasambandha, right, that Antaryami will protect everything, will take care of everything, right? So the queen meets him in the Meenakshi temple. That's where they met, Meenakshi Sundareshwara temple. The queen goes there in the morning. She was allowed to go there to worship. There's some arrangement between king and the queen. King allowed her to go to the Sundareshwara temple. And knowing that, Jnanasambandha meets her there in the Meenakshi temple, right? But then king came to know that this Jnanasambandha had come and she has met with, queen has met Jnanasambandha. This news came there. The Jains have somebody reported this matter, got to their knowledge, right? So, and the propagation there was such that they were putting pressure on the king to send her back to Choladesham, not allow her to stay there, because she met this Jnanasambandha, right? And so the Jains were very much against the Shaiva tradition, Bhakti tradition also, right? And meanwhile, the king fell ill. He felt very sick, right? So they tried very hard, the Jains, all their treatment, because they want the king to stay, to keep the Jainism going. So they tried very hard, but it was not getting better. So in a desperate situation, how Krishna's arrangement works, right? The queen said, bring Jnanasambandha, he may be able to help. And they brought Jnanasambandha there. And that power of bhakti in Jnanasambandha, right? And the faith in the Antaryami of Jnanasambandha, right? So, this vishwasam, like that, it is not the characteristics of the mind. It's not from the mind it is, right? It comes directly from Antaryami. Directly from Antaryami, right? So, if you create faith in the mind, it won't last very long. It will stay some time, it will go. That's the problem with this thing called belief system. Suppose you say to people so many things, and if you pick it up through your mind and intelligence, it may or may not stay. Whereas if Antaryami has accepted it, and Antaryami gives you the strength, it will stay. It won't leave you. That's the difference, major difference, right? So, that's why belief what you have created in someone's mind is always very wobbly. It won't stay, right? Whereas something that has come from Antaryami, it will stay, right? And that is what is called the Shraddha. The Shraddha Shakti, it comes from Antaryami. It doesn't come from the mind. You know what I mean? That Shraddha Shakti, that comes from Antaryami. It's not coming from the mind. So, it is that what Krishna is saying in this verse. I will give him that Shraddha Shakti. Tesham aham samuddhartha mrityu samsara sagarad bhavami najiral partha maya veshadachetasam. It means through that Shraddha Shakti, I'll give it to him and I'll get him out from that. Yeah? So, Krishna said in another way later, Tesham, in the 10th chapter you will see, Tesham eva anukambartam aham ajnanajam tama nashayami atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhasvata. Earlier he said that, right? So in other words, I'll give him that knowledge, what's required, and remove his ignorance inside, and I will give him the Shraddha to get this knowledge inside, knowledge of the soul. Tesham eva anukambartham aham ajnanajam tama nashayami atma bhavastam. Atma bhavastam means present inside the sandaryami. Jnana deepena vasvada, I'll give him the knowledge. What is required? Jnana deepa means the light of knowledge. I will light it and he will have it. He will experience the knowledge of the self. So that is how Krishna has spoken, right? And another place he said that buddhi yogam, dadami buddhi yogandam yenama upayandide, he said. I will give him bhakti, buddhi yogam, in that way. He said, tesham satata yuktanam bhajadam priti purvagam dadami buddhi yogandam yenama upayandide. In the 10th chapter you see all these verses. We discussed that. So those verses are important in the Bhagavad Gita. How Krishna works for a devotee. You see, all these verses, Tesham Evanik Aham Samudharta, these 7th verse in the 12th chapter, similarly the 11th verse in the 10th chapter, 10th verse in the 10th chapter, all you will see, Tesham Aham, how I do things. Krishna explains that. Tesham Evanikambhartam Aham Ajnana Jamtama Nashayami Alma Bhavasto Jnana Deepena Bhasvada. That's one. Then he also said, Tesham Satada Yuktanam Bhajadam Priti Purvagam Dadami Buddhi Yogandam Yenamam Upayandide. How Krishna operates in a devotee's case. And he is guaranteeing this again and again and again. Right? So, there he said, I will give him the Buddhi Yogam for that. In other, and they will come to me with that Buddhi Yogam, they will come to me. Yeah? And then, in here he said like this, Teshamaham Samudhartha Murti Samsara Sagarat. So when he surrenders to me like that, immediately I will elevate him. I'll take care of him from then. Mayaveshada Chedasam. So Mayaveshada Chedasam means that what those who are executing bhakti and whose chitta is completely absorbed in me. Then it is their, such devotees, it is their story what Krishna is talking about. Those who are completely absorbed in Krishna, right? Their chittam. And because their chittam is not anymore attracted to sense enjoyment, sense gratification, their senses are completely under control. Mind is completely under control. No attraction for sense enjoyment. It's completely gone. Right? And in that situation, the whole attention will go to Antaryami inside. And that Anusandhanam inside. One who is present inside as Antaryami. And they have acquired that wealth. They have reached that state. Right? In other words, that is a wealth for them. Their wealth is that attraction for sense gratification is gone. Total vairagyam has come. And whole attention has turned towards Sandaryami. And it is in that state that they have become very wealthy. What is that wealth? Bhava Balam. In Bhava Mandalam, they have become very strong. Yeah? So, that is what Bhava Balam is, what Krishna is using there with Mayaveshita Chetasam. When he says that, that's what it means. In Bhava Mandalam, Krishna has entered very strongly. In their Bhava Mandalam. Inside, right? So very powerful devotees who have reached that stage, in their life, only you will understand that word, what that means. Mayaveshada Chedasam means. We won't understand otherwise what it means. Mayaveshada Chedasam. Mayaveshada Chedasam means devotees who have surrendered to Krishna to such a degree and completely withdrawn from the world from every level. Right? And Krishna has gone inside so strongly that 24 hours dhyanam, Krishna inside. Krishna's presence inside. Antaryami and Antaryami's presence. They are fully conscious of that. Right? And in them you won't find any personality, vyaktitva, individuality. You won't find in them. Right? Why? Mayaveshita chedasam, he is saying. Right? And that is when Krishna says, again, their nature will be mai eva mana adatsva, mai buddhim niveshaya, nivasishyasi mai eva ada urdhanna samshaya. The next verse, you see. So all those verses you can see, what happens to a person, a devotee. His mind is so absorbed in him and the buddhi, he is living in me practically. He is not living in his body, he is living in me. You live where your mind is it not? For us also it's the same thing. We live in this body because our mind is in the body. In the same way, Krishna is saying, if your mind is in Krishna, you are living in Krishna, not in this body anymore. Nivasishyasi mai eva, ada urdhvam na samshaya, he said. So Krishna says to Arjuna, through buddhi, you do this vicharam and fix this, right? If you do like that, then you will live in me. You won't be outside. You are in me then, right? Where you are physically, that is not where you are. Physically you may be here, but mentally you could be somewhere else. Is it not? Right? Wherever your mind and intelligence is there, and that is where you are. That is that sthanam Krishna is talking about. Sthanam prapsisi shashwatam, he said. That's sthanam, right? So that is what he is referring to. That's sthanam. You are in me. So nivasishyasi mayeva ada urdhvam na samshaya. And so after saying that, Krishna is saying, after that you don't have to think about getting liberated. I have taken care of it. If you have come to that stage, right? So in that situation, when the body drops away, you will obviously be with me. Consciousness wise, you are with me then. Even if the body drops off, right? And like in the Madhvacharya's traditions, they will say like this, that Jiva realized Krishna, right? Chittam has become pure. And they will say that after death, it will remain in the Jyoti, Jyotirmayam, right? And they are saying that all the species will exist all the time. That's their siddhantam, right? And materially you can look at this, say that all the species are still existing, and they are correct in that, saying that, right? But from an absolute platform, when you take to higher planes, it's not true. On a mundane level, when you look at it, all living entities exist, in different species exist here, right? In Adhyatmam, in spiritual life, you cannot put everything in a watertight compartment. That is a problem there, right? We are looking for that, to put everything in a watertight compartment. We want everything in a package like that. Yeah. So, after saying all these things, Krishna said there, that if you can't do this, right, practice it, he said. That's what the next verse is, isn't it? Ata chittam samadhatum na shaknushi mai sthiram abhyasa yoga, he says. Abhyasam start. Abhyasa yoga ni tato maam ichaktam dhananjaya, he said. Abhyasam. Practice it, he said. How will you practice it? Chanting the holy name is one process, right? Devotees will always say that when you go to some Mahatmas, and if they find that you are not used to any other ways of spiritual life, they'll just tell you, chant the holy name and send you home. Just chant the holy name, they'll say. Right? For example, Rupa Dhyanam, meditation on the form, is difficult for many people. Because when you start the meditation, it will last for a few seconds. After that, the form will go. Similarly, people do not have the capacity to sometimes to analyze things properly, what Shastram is saying, and be able to involve in mananam properly, mananam, nididhyasanam, all that. Some people find it very difficult, all that. So that's what Abhyasam it is. But then Abhyasa Yogam, if you can follow that, right? In other words, every day you have to spend some time in Abhyasam, to sit in one place and spend a few hours properly scrutinizing the Upanishads and Shastram, and able to absorb the message from the Shastram, see the all aspects of it. And then all that requires a certain frame of mind and capacity to do that, right? So, whereas majority of the people are not used to that. They can do japam, they can do a little bit of dhyanam, and little bit of anushtanam, like circumambulation in the temple, and offering obeisances, and bringing some flowers for the offering to the deity, bringing some ghee, and certain, like you can see many people, when they come, they bring some rice, some dal, some vegetables, and ghee, and everything to the temple. This is possible, easy for them to do it. But if you tell them to sit and do a few hours of mananam, nididhyasanam, shravanam and all, they will say, no, no, that's not possible for that. So that's the situation, it's like that, right? So, but training the mind, what Krishna is saying there, abhyasa yogam, that is also, if you practice it over a period of time, it is possible, but some people may not have the strength for that. And if you practice it, after some time you will see the mind will adjust itself. It will become very meditative nature. Right? And one has to oneself know one's own situation and make the arrangements accordingly. Nobody outside person can do everything for us. We also have to look at our own mind, our own body, and our own capacity in spiritual life to do that. Right? Just like Mahatmas say so many things, right? All great Mahatmas have spoken. And then all these great literature like Yoga Vasishtam, Panchadashi, and Viveka Chudamani, so many books also available. And when you read all that, naturally you will start getting a little bit confused. What do I do? Shastram is so big, and I am so small, and my time is limited, and my mind has got only this much capacity. What do I do? All what you can do is to take instructions from so many people. Whatever that is helping you for your spiritual life, you take it from Viveka Chudamani or Panchadashi or from other literature like that. That's all you can do, right? And you have to make one your own setup individually. From each book, from Bhagavad Gita also, from Bhagavatam also. In all these, everything in Bhagavad Gita and everything in Bhagavatam you won't be able to absorb. That's not possible. What a devotee does is, he reads all these books and from everything, what is helping him for his spiritual life, he will take it out and mix it all together with the Mahatma's instructions. And that is how you build your spiritual life. That's the only way it is possible. Also, Shastram is too big. Now the system is different, isn't it? Now the current Mahatmas are giving one or two words now and then, here and there. And all of them are doing that. Now it has become so much a problem. All these current Mahatmas, they give you these reels, one or two words, what you should do in your life, in family life and all that. And you are thinking, that what are you supposed to do with it? Because those people who are saying this, they also haven't got a clue. They must have read it somewhere. I don't know where it's coming from. It's not coming from any realization of anything. It's not very stable. It's covering all sides of life, right? Nowadays, gurus are like that. They'll tell you about everything related to your personal life, what you have to do, your job, your family life, your friendship, your association. Everything is covered by the gurus nowadays. That's how gurus. And you add some love into it and it becomes perfect. It's just so crazy. The whole thing has become so crazy. Anyway, so I'm saying that because what generally in spiritual life, this is all you can do. Take it from everywhere and make a mixture to suit your own mind. Right? So, for some people, Shastram is important. The authority of the Shastram. That gives you the strength, right? And and for some people, the words of great personalities, Mahatmas, what they have spoken, that will give the strength for some people, right? And the mind does not have much power, right? And mind is like that. Mind doesn't have a lot of strength, right? Just like if you don't have the immunity, you catch quickly catch the cold, is it not? In the same way, what the mind requires, you have to give the tonic to the mind. Otherwise, mind will find it difficult, right? And give the mind some strength to act properly, right? And so this chanting the holy name, Salsangam, Shastram, these are all medicines for the mind. Like you give medicines to the body, in the same way, the medicine for the mind is all these things. Which one? Shastram. Similarly, chanting the holy name, Salsangam, and such things. And you mix up all these things together and create what they call in Ayurveda, Rasayanam. Right? Adhyatma Rasayanam it is. There are so many other Rasayanam there in the Ayurveda. A lot of things comes together and mix it up, and then they make this one tonic-like thing. So, and that is called a Rasayanam, right? So, this is the Adhyatma Rasayanam. Adhyatma Rasayanam is a combination of Salsangam, Bhagavad Gita, Shastram, Bhagavadam, everything, and similarly you are chanting the holy name all together, right? And Krishna is saying that you make that Rasayanam first and then keep on making it stronger and stronger. And eventually, Krishna says, Shane, Shane, the mind will come under your control. Yeah? Mind will become, you know, mind won't be able to act independently anymore, right? If you, on the other hand, allow the mind to go freely, it will go and destroy you completely. So, so this way of changing the mind through all these things, Japam, Salsangam, Shastram, Mahatma's association, their instructions, mixture of all these things together is what spiritual life is. Adhyatma, Adhyatma, Vidya. Right? And in order to do that, Paurushena Prayatnena, you require some strength inside, your own strength, right? And in order to keep you in the right path, Shubha Marga, right? After one, sometimes what will happen, the mind loses its taste for the wrong way to go. It will become, got used to this. Salsangam, Japam, Shastram, Mahatma's instructions, all these things, you, once you get used to it, you get a taste for it, then the mind won't go in the other way. Mind will follow this route. It's just a question of training the mind in that way, right? So, and that stage is called dhyanam. Power of dhyanam is like, dhyanam means that thoughts continuously coming in the favorable way inside. Everything favorably for spiritual life, right? That's called dhyana balam, the power of dhyanam, right? And so in order to get to that stage, whatever Krishna has given, the different powers what we have got, right? And that supply of Krishna supplying us all that, Vishwasam, Shraddha, Kripa, that's what's called Kripa. That energy what Krishna gives us, the Shraddha from inside, to develop this whole thing like this, and to turn the mind away into this, that power, what Krishna has given. So, it is keeping this in mind, all these things in mind, that you are, say, asking for mercy, what we call mercy. Krishna's mercy, Kripa, Kripa, we say that, isn't it? So, when you say that you have received Krishna's mercy, when you say like that, actually what it means is that Krishna is giving you the support from inside. That's all what it means. Antaryami inside is giving you the right support from inside. Because if Antaryami don't give it, it's not possible to do it. If Antaryami don't give you the support from inside, it won't be possible for you to stay in spiritual life. Right? So sometimes you say, oh, it's just common sense, you say. What is that common sense? Is kripa. Krishna's kripa it is, right? Similarly, your enthusiasm in spiritual life, feeling that something I have to do spiritually, I need to realize the self here. This is what makes sense to me. All these thoughts coming inside, that jinyasa inside, is kripa. Krishna's kripa it is, right? Bhakti is kripa. It is kripa, right? Similarly, if you say to Krishna wholeheartedly, that you are suffering and I want a relief from this and I need the help, when you say that, it is Krishna's kripa, right? Krishna's kripa, it is called, I think. It is Krishna's kripa, right? So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No.
Try now.
Yes,
you might have turned it down from
there.
Try now,
see,
fine.
No.
Huh?
No. Doesn't matter
it's
now.
It's throwing that thing on here, but not.
Okay.
You might have accidentally turned it off.
Can you test the mic?
Not to worry. No, let's continue with that. Yeah. So all these things are kripa. Krishna's kripa it is, right? It is Krishna's kripa. In other words, what Mahatma says, the right message to us, is kripa. What Shastram says is kripa, right? And common sense, what you say, is kripa. Right? Jitnyasa is kripa. Bhakti is kripa. All these combined together is called kripa. Kripa means that, right? So, in other words, all these things are different aspects of our swabhava. Swabhava vishesham, right? So, in our upadhi, body, mind, senses, everything coming favorable to us in spiritual life, body, mind, senses, everything coming favorable to us, right? All that is kripa. That's all kripa. Body has to be favorable, mind has to be favorable, buddhi has to be favorable, ahankaram has to be favorable, and when it comes like that, that's all kripa. So, that's the only way you can go in spiritual life. Every individual person in this world, all of them have to cook, they have to do practice their spiritual life with what they have got, isn't it? What you don't have it. What can you do? We have to practice the spiritual life with what we have got with us, right? So, and doing that is called abhyasam. So this abhyasam, you have to understand what abhyasam means. Abhyasam means that you get the power from all these different sources and able to mix them up together, and everything what is required for doing that into the upadhis that help come from Antaryami. And that's what's called kripa. So kripa is not, it is not so simple that Krishna says to you that I've got all the kripa for you. What that means is this, that all your upadhi comes favorable to you to practice spiritual life, right? And the enthusiasm, inspiration from inside, from Antaryami side, and able to practice it regularly, that, able to do that, abhyasam, that is kripa. So, without kripa, this abhyasam won't be very effective. Abhyasam becomes very effective when the kripa is there. Because all the body is cooperating, mind is cooperating, intelligence is cooperating, senses are cooperating, even prarabdham is cooperating in that way. So to understand that word abhyasam, how abhyasam happens in a person. It's not that something I decided now I'm going to practice it. If you go in that mood, it won't work. Yeah. That's why often we start some process in the spiritual life. It lasts only for a few hours and then it's over. It's forgotten. We try various things in spiritual life, isn't it? And sometimes After a few days it goes, or a few months it goes. Some people say, I've chanted so many years, nothing happened. Because that kripa hasn't come to him. His abhyasam was not based on kripa. It's just like this, right? You know, at home when you have to cook some sabjis, right? If you ask somebody, ask you that, what are you going to cook today? He says, I don't know, whatever is there, I'll cook. I'll take it and cook it, he'll say. And then you'll go and see what is available and you use the sabji in that way, right? So what you have got, with that you have to cook. Similarly, whatever you have got as your in your upadhi, mind, intelligence, senses and everything, shraddha in the same way, and similarly the shastram and the help of the mahalikmas, and also the chanting, sadhana, what you can do. Combining all these things and practicing spiritual life is abhyasam. That's how abhyasam to be understood, right? Whereas normally what happens is, we think that if the institution is telling us a particular format, if I follow that, I'm doing it. Everything else is not working for me. Say. So what happens is, this abhyasam is very much a individual based. And every individual is different. Our vasanas are different. Prarabdham is different. So when you practice abhyasam, when you are doing the abhyasam, the way it will come out will be different for everybody. Everyone, you see, the thing is that we are used to this one method, isn't it? One training session-like thing. We start a club, we start some courses, seminars and all. And then we you look at how our mind works. He has gone through, he got that certificate from this Bhakti Shastri or whatever. And then he has got the other certificate, Bhakti Vaibhava. And then he has got another certificate, Bhakti Vedanta. He has got all the three certificates from all the three different courses, right? Which has taken a few years. Has he got anything? No. He hasn't got anything. He has got all the certificates in him. Why is it like that? Because he has not understood this basics of spiritual life. That your sadhana, upasana, all dependent on number of things, right? These are all input into it. Who? Shastram, Salsangam, Mahalma's words, your upasana, japam, dhyanam, all these things, right? You got to add all these things together, and then you have to make your own medicine for yourself. You have to make that medicine, that tonic, what is required. And these are, all these things depends on your ability, where you are standing at, your situation, particular situation, your own determination inside, right? And then the jijnyasa inside, to have it, to know the thing, right? Similarly, you have to feel that bhakti inside. And those things are dependent on andaryami. Andaryami has to support this from inside, with bhakti, with jijnyasa, and shastram, yukti, common sense, all these things. So whatever swabhavam you have in your upadhi, all that is kripa. Yeah? All that is in your upadhi is all kripa. Right? So that kripa is to be used, like the way this example, that whatever is available with me, I'll use it and make the sabji today. In the same way. Whatever that is available with you, you have to use all that and make your spiritual life in that way. That's the way to go, right? So, and you see this, you can see, if you look into Bhagavadam, you will notice these things carefully, right? What happened was, Krishna smashed Kaliya. Kicked him a lot on his head, right? And Krishna says to him, don't stay here, go to Ramanagadvipa. You don't stay in Yamuna River anymore, right? And because, why Krishna says, you are spitting poison all the time and you are creating trouble for everybody here. Kaliyan answered him very well. Kaliya says, you gave me poison and how do you expect me to spit nectar then? This is what you have given it to me. So this is how spiritual life is, right? what Krishna has given to us, with that we have to execute spiritual life. Kaliya answered him very nicely. Kaliya said, Krishna said, yeah, you did the right thing, he said to him. Kaliya says to Krishna that, you look at the word, vayam khalaha dirgham anyavaha. My nature is, I am a snake, he said. What do you expect me? I am not a brahmana, he says. I am a snake. How do you expect me to be like a brahmana? That's not possible. You have given me poison inside, and you have given me a snake's body, and with this ubadi, what else do you expect from me? This was Kaliya's answer, right? Right now I have got poison inside, so I will spit the poison, right? So Krishna says, then you go to some place where there is nobody there. You can spit your poison there, right? So if you do like that, but he has listened to Krishna, so he gets purified in that process, right? So that is what Narada Maharshi said in the Bhakti Sutram. He says this, that this is the way to sublimate the way. With the upadhi what you have got, with that you do what you can, right? And surrender your svabhavam to Krishna, right? Prakriti svabhavam, right? If you do like that, it will become bhakti. If you surrender your svabhavam to Krishna, it becomes bhakti, right? Chittam means prakriti actually, right? Whatever that is inside us, all that different vasanas all combined together, that is what is called chittam, right? And that chittam is called, creates our svabhavam. Vasanas inside is the chittam. And that chittam creates the svabhavam, or that is our prakriti. Or in English you will say temperament. When we say temperament, right? Sometimes you say mood. You are using all these different types of words, that's all. But basically, it is the same thing. The temperament, mood, is all chittam only. So, surrendering that chittam, that is what Krishna is saying. You see that word chittam, you have to take notice of that very carefully. Ata chittam samadhadam, nashaknoshi maistiram, abhyasa yogena tado, mami chaptam dhananjaya. Taking into account the actions of the chittam. Chittam means your svabhav, all the vasanas inside. Keeping all that into calculations. So, Krishna says, abhyasam, right? Abhyasam. And with that, abhyasam, right? You can look at ourselves. We spend our little children to the school to study, don't we? And you see, at the age of 3 and 4, when they go there, and first they start with the alphabets, and they are not able to do it. Then you hold their hand and make them do it. To write A, B, C, all these kind of things, right? And the child is crying, my hand is feeling painful, I can't do it, and all she's protesting that, right? But we force the child to do it, right? But when you come to spiritual life, we have not practiced it like that way, right? Material life, we have done that. And that's how we learned all the alphabets, one after the other, right? And when you come to spiritual life, because we have not practiced it, we are saying that, no, it's not possible, right? And we have only one thing you can do. This is the only thing I can do. There is no other way. With that conviction, you keep practicing it. There is no other way, you see. Take account of everything what you have got in hand, mix it all together, and prepare that medicine for yourself and practice it. Abhyasam, right? So, so you can look at our material life, you can see this. You see, when we get sick, right, you go to the doctor, and if it hasn't worked, you'll go to a big hospital, contact some consultants or somebody in the higher level. You will do everything possible, is it not? To do what you can for the disease, to treat, right? So, and even one day they are telling you that you won't be living very long, you will die soon. Still, you will continue with the treatment till death, do you not? That's how human nature is like that. Still, you will not give up treatment, you will continue treatment, right? But, even that much sincerity, we don't have in spiritual life. Spiritual life, you try something, it doesn't work, throw it away, straight away, finished. Then go back to material life again. This is the problem. In spiritual life, to get that sincerity, to the same extent, like, for example, death is you, they are telling you are going to die, still you are fighting it, isn't it? That's what they say, doctors will say. You should fight it out, they say. Why that fighting it is not coming in the spiritual life? Why only in the material life that fighting spirit is so much? Because we think you have the body. That is where the difficulty is. You see, that whole fighting spirit, what they talk about, just like this one girl who is dying of cancer, right? And everybody, when they see her, they tell her, you should fight it out. So what can't you fight? She's already, everything is spreading in the body. And then people come and say to you, fight it, fight. What fight can you do? This is the difference between material life and spiritual life. In material life, you fight, you lose at the end. In spiritual life, if you win, that win forever. There's a huge difference there, right? So the thing is that we haven't got that fighting spirit in spiritual life. That's where the whole problem is. Our fighting spirit is all in the material life only. When it comes to spiritual life, we are not good at fighting. We give up very easily. This is not working for me. I tried sometimes Buddhism. Then I tried some Islam. Now I'll try a little bit of Hare Krishna. And this is how we are. Which one will work then? Nothing will work, isn't it? So therefore, first thing to understand that there is another birth after leaving this body, right? And even that is, we are not accepting that. People still have doubts. This is all written by some books. In them days, you can see the young people in India now, big problems they have got, right? They have lost faith in all these things. They have lost faith in the Vedam. They have lost faith in the transmigration of the soul. And even after taking birth in India, if they haven't got faith in that, their birth was useless. The benefit of taking birth in India is these things, that you have faith in all these things, that transmigration of the soul, another life is there after death. It's a big thing in life. If you don't have that faith, what will happen? We'll be simply run for sense gratification in this world. It is those things that puts a brake, tells us that karma is important, maya is there, and similarly rebirth is there. These things in a person's inside, if it is there in his subtle body, he'll be a little bit cautious about everything. His attitude will be different, right? So, whole lifetime, sometimes people say this. In India also, I have seen this. They have become very old, 80, 85 year old, right? Whole life they have been busy with materialistic activities. And in the old age, there is no faith in anything. They don't believe in a life after death. They don't believe that there is a soul inside. They don't believe that karma has some binding on them, karma vasana in the form. All these things, they never thought about it in life. Simply they did work, and what we call it, progress in their career was important for them. Now they have reached such a stage in life that they're finding what next now? What's going to happen? They missed the boat, right? So if that happens, Krishna is saying this, right? And when you tell them about spiritual life, it's having no effect on them, no impact on them, right? And then they're saying that it is now difficult for us to start all these things, right? if you have not had these things, you won't be fearful in life. You have to become fearful of life, right? There is danger. If I don't take advantage of this life, I will lose a great opportunity. What Krishna is saying, isn't it? Brahmava loka dishanam udamapa deva, he said. Why did he say that? From Krishna's side he has told us, right? So you are not fearful about birth. You are not fearful about death. You are not fearful about old age. So all these things is because that fear is not there. Faith is not there. Faith is not there, right? So when does one become sincere? Sincerity comes that when we start realizing there is a thing called self-realization, right? And there's a thing called a liberation, and that is permanent, and that is freedom from all the sufferings of life. Unless one has come to terms with it, he's saying that, right? This sincerity will never come. All this is contributing factors to that. Otherwise it will be like this, it will go on like this day after day, right? So, if you start thinking that with the death everything is over, then where is the, why do you have to spend the time in the spiritual life then, if everything is over with the death, right? And so, these verses in the Bhagavad Gita is making us to become conscious of all these things, right? And Krishna's point is that spiritual life is an ongoing thing. It has to go on like this. Abhyasa yoga tena abhyasa yoga na tado mam ichhaptam dhananjaya. In another place, abhyasa na tado yoga ichhaptam dhananjaya is saying here, isn't it? Chedasa ananya gaminam. In the 6th chapter, I think, it says, Abhyasa yoyuktena chedasa ananya gaminam. That means the people who are in the spiritual life, we have to reach that state. Only then things happen to Arjuna, Vidura, and to Goswamis, and Jnanasambandar and all. This kind of situations happens to such conditions only. Otherwise, we will remain like this. So, important thing to understand from this is Krishna is saying that till you become serious, all the shastram has no sense at all. Unless you become serious. You are not serious. That's the Krishna's point always. He says you are not serious enough. Because if you are serious, this is not how it will be. So, creating that seriousness in a person. To Arjuna, the same thing Krishna said. Right up to that point in Mahabharata war, he was not serious. He was busy with all the other things. And that is why when Krishna realized that this person is ready now for some spiritual instructions, when he started crying there in front of Drona and Bhishma, that time, because he has taken Krishna's shelter, Krishna told him Bhagavad Gita. Krishna didn't give it to Yudhishthira. Why? Yudhishthira's faith was in the dharma, not in the surrender. And therefore, he didn't give it to him. He gave it to Arjuna. And Arjuna, so you can understand from all this Arjuna situation, Vidura situation. Similarly, many, many instances in the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see, they have to be a state, they have to be ready when Krishna's Antaryami start working for them and start giving that push from inside in spiritual life. And for that, all the other things what we spoke about this morning is effective, right? That sincerity is the most important thing. And Krishna said that wherever you finish here, Krishna is not expecting that you will finish in one life. He's not. He's saying wherever you finish, you'll come in the next life. And all the facilities will be provided for where you have left it, from there to continue. That is how Krishna sees that. You may or may not finish in one lifetime, but that doesn't mean that you have to give it up, right? Because this is the truth. Shastram is the truth. Vedam is the truth. Nothing else matters. So, if you understand Bhagavad Gita in this way, it will give you some strength from inside to continue with spiritual life, right? And as Krishna said that, Sulpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahado bhayad. Even if you do a little bit of this, it is still a success for you. It's not a failure. Because that little thing what you have done will go with you. And it will take you into the next level in spiritual life, right? So, in this way, Krishna's point is, be enthusiastic all the time in the path of liberation. Of becoming free from the cycle of birth and death. You should be enthusiastic about that, right? And suppose you can't do this, abhyasam, right? That is when Krishna gives the next option. Have you noticed that? So, you can see this chapter many things what Krishna has spoken to make us understand what spiritual life is first. Most of us are trained in a different way to think, isn't it? We are used to, we are happy that we find a guru who tells us what you have to do, and then he is doing all the monitoring. And if he says that I'll take care of everything, you're more than happy. We look for the easy way out, right? That is not spiritual life. Spiritual life is not, that's just a word. When they say like that, it doesn't mean anything. But Krishna is saying this, if you are not possible for that, abhyasepi asamartosi. That is the next level. Abhyasepi asamartosi, mal karma paramo bhava, madartham avikarmani kurvan siddhi mavapsesi. Right? So, if you cannot do that, do some karmam special for this, right? Mat karma paramo bhava, he says. That if you cannot do all the karmam, if you cannot offer it to me, all the karmam, if you cannot offer it to me, offer your mind to me, at least the mind, right? Okay, you can't practice everything, right? So Krishna is saying, lot of time you're going to the office or to the place where you're working, right? But then what time you have got in your control, do something special. Whatever time you've got then, you do that, right? So, and this is interesting also. You see, everyone in this world is in different situations, isn't it? Their material situation is different. So there has to be some way out for everybody, otherwise it is not possible. For example, he says that one person, his job was making these clay pots, right? And he came up to a sannyasi and told him that, give me some spiritual instructions, he said. So the sannyasi told him that you are doing that work, so what you can do, that there's a lot of sadhus who don't have a pot for begging bowl. They don't have, right? Since you're making a lot of pots every day, at least one pot, you give it free to one sadhu. One pot, at least you give it to one sadhu free, every day, one. You do like that. You can't do everything. All the pots, you can't give it like that. But at least one pot, you give like that, right? And if you keep doing like that, he said, so what he used to do, every day he has to find a new sannyasi who doesn't have a pot. In this way he kept giving the pots to different sannyasis, one pot every day, right? And over a period of time he escaped from this problem. That is what he is talking about. Abhyasebi asamartosi malkarma paramo bhava madartham avikarvani kurvan siddhim avapsesi. Begin in that way, right? This was quite normal in this Tirunavalai also, when they go on this parikrama there, like, you know, Govardhana parikrama, they have Tirunavalai parikrama also, Girivala. At that time, there was, you know, the people who make tea and coffee and all that, there are small tea shops there, right? So there's nothing else there to eat, and you have to walk this whole distance, 14, 15 kilometers or something. So what these tea shop people do, all the people who come in the morning, they give free. So even they have understood this, they learned a little bit of this science, that karmam, all karmam you can't do it. You are stuck in a situation due to circumstances, right? Type of karmam what we do, because all vikarmam we have created, and right in the middle of that. So what they are saying is that if that is a situation, start somewhere, a part of that at least you send it to that's what that was, yeah? Abhyasebhya asamartosi mal karma paramo bhava, right? That that something you give, and you will be amazed how people do this. In Vrindavanam you can see this. In many houses, if you are hungry, because there's a lot of people who go to Vrindavanam in the proper way, not like the we go with booked hotels and taxis arranged and guides to take us, like in a you know, tourist place. People come there like that also there. But there are a lot of people traditionally who goes to Vrindavanam in a different way. They'll walk everywhere. They won't use any transport. And they won't carry any food either with them. They will have a water pot with them, and some of them will carry a stick, but they will do all the Vrajaparikramam like this. And how do they survive? Wherever they get there, when they are hungry, they'll go to some house there nearest, ask for food, and they will give them. And that's a beauty. They'll give them some puri or halwa or something like that, just so that you can get through your next phase of life. So that nature of giving like that, you may, and they are not very rich people, these people who are giving it, right? They are living in very simple conditions. But at the same time, they have got a lot of poverty themselves. But still that heart, you have to see where that culture is coming from. That is, this is words that pointing out to that. Abhyasi, they can't do everything in life because they are themselves very poor. They are not practicing any other spiritual life. But that culture has stayed with them. Abhyasepi asamarthosi malkarma paramo bhava madartham avigarmani kurvan siddhim avapsisi. Krishna is saying, begin from that situation, right? And you will be surprised when you see them in their poor conditions that they are doing this charity like this, right? And so many examples like that. You will have to look at poor people, only then you will see this. Big people come with huge amounts of money and they have got people to organize everything for them. They have to only sign the check and send it off. Others will be managing their charity work, right? That's a different kettle of fish. But proper dhanam and proper charity, if you want to see, this is where you will find it. In people like that, their heart behind it, that faith in the Shastra. Similarly, you see this charity thing, like Ambanis and Adanis and coming and dumping tremendous amount of money. They may not be even aware of, because this amount is nothing compared for their wealth, right? So they're not bothered about it. But if you look at Vaidika Brahmanas, how they give charity, it's different. It's not like this. They know from the Shastram the importance of charity, right? The wealthy, very wealthy ones, they give charity because there is a lot of wealth that has come in the wrong way into them. So to shed it, get rid of that, they will give, say, 10 crores to this movement, 5 crores to another movement, and so many, all these spiritual people, they all go to them. Hindujas and Ambanis and Mittals and all these big, big people, right? It's not only Ishkon goes to them, others also go to them. Sai Baba's goes, Chinmay Mission goes, Amrudanandamayi goes, everybody goes to them. So they have to give everyone, say, you can have 5 crores, you can have 5 crores, he says. And we are happy and they are also happy. So this is that's a situation, relationship there. This is not that we are talking about. What Krishna is saying here is that the Vaidika Brahmanas, they know the value of charity. They are not wealthy themselves, right? But they receive charity, but they will give more what then they get themselves. That is charity. In fact, what they do is, when they don't get an opportunity to give, they will create an opportunity to give it. We have seen this in some Vedabhadashala, right? What they have done is, the teacher, they will call all the young boys, children who are studying there, and tell them, you massage my feet, I've got a lot of pain in the legs. And they'll make the children to massage the feet. And he himself is not very rich, but he will give each one of them 500 rupee note, 1000 rupee note. So 20, 30 children, he will give it freely. Why? Because he knows money should not be kept. It should be disposed of. They understand the value of charity properly. The knowledge is there inside. So therefore they act differently. It's not like the way the big wealthy businessman gave. He doesn't have a clue what he's doing. He has got so much money and he just tells them, you can have this. Or some big project comes up, you know, they come out, how they come out like that. And so there is that, to understand that subtlety, you got to observe both sides of people, how it happens in that way. So, so in Vrindavan, Haridwar, Rishikesh, all these places, ordinary people, they will look for sannyasis to find them, and something they will go and give it to them, food or clothes or something like that. And some people, they build cottages for them to stay, and they themselves who are doing it are not very rich. They are not very rich people, right? But still that sandosham inside. And that is what he is saying there. Madartham abhi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsisi, he said. If you understand those words. Madartham kubhi karmani. You do something for me, you will get siddhim avapsisi. You will get some satisfaction from that. Some perfection from that. You will get. Spiritually, some perfection from that. Madartham abhi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsisi. So that is that option. Some tyagam, some sacrifice in life, right? Especially for me, Krishna says, if you do that, right? To please Krishna, do something, right? Even if you can't make the whole life in that way, at least take this abhyasam, this practice, develop something special like this and do it. Madartham abhikarmani. Visheshena kuru. And there was a story about this, that one washerman, he was washing clothes, right? And there was a sannyasi walking that way, a bhikshu, you can say. So he told the sannyasi, give me your clothes, I'll wash it and give it to you, he said. Swami says to him, that's all right, I'll manage with this, he said. Sannyasi, isn't it? So he says to him that, give me the clothes, I'll wash it and give it to you. I don't want any money. He said, I'll just wash it and give it to you. He said, that's bhakti. That's bhakti, right? So this way you are removing that selfishness from inside. Little selfishness from inside. It goes away, right? And Krishna is saying, if you can't offer everything to me, and if you are stuck in a situation like this in life, in the field of karma, that's what is the situation with most of the people. They are stuck in the field of karma like this, where they are finding it difficult to do everything, like the way Krishna has spoken, to do everything, to surrender everything to him, right? Then Krishna is saying, what is possible for you to do it, do it. That's the next thing. Next option Krishna has given, right? If you are not possible to find any option to do it, a special place to do it, that you have to find something and do it, right? And that's a way to come out of it. You know what I'm saying? Krishna is saying that if you are not able to do it, you are not finding in a situation, you are stuck in a situation where your karma is such a binding, you are caught up in that completely. If it is like that, Krishna is saying, you have to find some way where you can do something whereby you are free from that selfishness. To get rid of the selfishness. To do something without selfishness, in other words. Yeah. So, if you do like that, that means you have to create some channel towards Krishna in your field of karma. Karma you can't escape because that is your prarabdham, it is. That you are stuck in that. Lot of big people, isn't it? Some of them is very, you can see that. You know these big people who are managing big corporations and all that. They have reached a stage in life, 70, 80 and all that, in big positions, right? Any moment they could be gone from this world. Spiritually they couldn't do anything because they were stuck in that field. It is for them, these verses, that if you can't do anything, if you are caught up in the middle of this horrible thing called a karma, and you are not able to free yourself from that, the only option you have, you create a channel in such a way, in your field of karma, that through that, you can release some of your selfishness, because karma is centered around, that is where all the problem is, in karma. Because all your ahankaram is there, all your ragadvesham comes from there, all your vasanas are created there, and that is where purification is necessary. And at least start from there, when some of that karma, channel it in such a way that it goes to Krishna. That's the way to do it. Some of them, if you cannot do it everything, at least do that, he says. And then Krishna is saying, Kurvan Siddhim Avapsisi, you will become perfect one day, he said, provided you create that channel, Sarani, they call it, right? Siddhim Avapsisi. He says, if you do that, bhakti will happen. Kripa will come, he says. And if no matter what you do it, right? So he's saying that. Otherwise, what will happen? Krishna is saying that also, right? It's a poor family, right? They will, sometimes you will see there in them this principle working for them. They will do what they can for others, right? We are thinking that, oh, my responsibility, I have to look after my children, to look after my wife, I have to look at my grandchildren, all these things, right? And some people, when they get married, this is in their head. What? That I will have my children, and then I will have my grandchildren, and I will be looking after them all my life. This is their understanding of life. They start their married life in this way, right? And if you ask them, why you be king like this? You say, who will look after me when I am old? This is what they will say to you. Who will look after me if I don't look after them now? Who will look after me when I am old? Thinking like that, people are getting married. That the children will look after me in this way, right? And then what happened? Children come, right? And they got a job somewhere else and they're gone. You never see them again. After that they're gone, right? So nobody is there afterwards. This is grihastha situation in this world, right? So, and on the other hand, you can also see 20, 30 years some sannyasi fell very sick. And these 25 years the brahmacharis looked after him in the ashramam. That has also happened, right? So, why did that happen? Because the antaryami inside forces them to do that. You see? For grihastha's case, you see, we are making the plans always, thinking that they will do all. We want to organize everything. Even household life we want to organize. We'll have children and they should be obedient to us. They should only do what we tell them to do. And they're always under our wings. And they will do everything. If I keep them like that, when I get old, they will look after me. This is the underlying principle, right? Most parents think like that, especially in India. In the West, it's different, totally different calculation. So, Indian parents are like that, yeah. And finally, what happens? After they have got their degree and all their qualifications, everything, flown off to America, bye-bye, gone. And then the parents are thinking, so many parents are sitting at home in India now, thinking about the children in America. What can you do? They've gone, right? So, that basically because this antaryami principle has not gone into their head. They have not understood that antaryami controls everything. If a sannyasi who has no family, who have no children, brahmacharis have come to help him and look after him. How did that happen? That's because the antaryami inside has made that arrangement. Some help will come from somewhere, right? That Ishwaratvam inside, forcing them to do that, right? So, and you can't say that people who are doing like this are very rich or they've got so much resources or anything, but still they do that. That's bhakti, right? Upasana, right? They also have got their own jobs to do, to live in this world. They have to do their work. And they've also got their prarabdham also. But in spite of all that, they're able to do this. In the middle of their jobs and in the prarabdham, right? Somewhere or the other, they found a special way of channeling something from their life in this world towards Krishna for self-realization. In other words, that is what this verse is talking about, this 10th verse. You see, so all these verses are very important, and you have to understand the significance of that. The different verses so far we have spoken, right? For example, you go to the temple, right? A particular place, you arrange some deity worship there, puja there, and you give some dakshina to the archaka who is doing the archana there, right? Or if you have a lot of money, you can pay for a whole day's expenses. You can see at all the temples they do that from morning to night. All different pujas, different aarties, whole thing covered by one payment, right? And it's all written in the notice board, isn't it? It's everywhere in every temple. In India also, it's the same thing. So rich people, will they do? They'll book one day's puja, which may cost some 50,000 rupees or 1,000 pounds or whatever it is, right? But in all that, your involvement is not there. You are just paying the money and you come off, right? And personally, you are not doing any tyagam there, right? So here what he is saying, that do some personal tyagam. Personally do something, right? And how that abhyasam, that's what he is going to talk about, right? And that is the next verse. You see that 11th verse, right? That is that next verse. Abhya asaidada pashaktosi kartum mad yogam ashrida sarvakarma bhalatyagam tata kuru yadatmavan. Then the beauty of tyagam, sacrificing something, right? The benefit of tyagam, right? Anything you offer it to Krishna, it is shrestha, he says. Shrestha means it's very auspicious. If you offer it to Krishna, it is very auspicious, right? And why? Because the tyagam is not easy. Tyagam is not easy. Abhimanam, ahankaram won't give way easily, right? You know our ahankaram inside, it's food. What keeps it growing is bhogam. Sense gratification, isn't it? Bhogam, right? If you give up bhogam, it will starve. Ahankaram will starve, right? Therefore, abhimanam or ahankaram will not allow tyagam easily. To give up things like that, it won't allow that, right? And it won't easily surrender also. This is the nature of the ahankaram inside, right? So, this tyagam, giving up things like that, it's like a laser treatment for the ahankaram. It's like a laser treatment, right? You're directly hitting at the ahankaram inside when you're giving up things to others, right? So, that's a science in itself, right? And just like wherever I am, analyzing life like that and realizing the self, it's like it's a science of its own, not of self-realization, right? And implementation of that, you can see while living in this world. For example, in life, sometimes you are praised, sometimes you are offended, insulted, right? And similarly, your selfishness, your ahankaram coming inside, in your vyavahara, it will come. It's natural, right? And you are not able to give it away, give it up. You will hold on to it very strongly, right? And all the problems that comes from that, and if you can recognize all these things, and if this tyagam happens in a life, your ahankaram will be able to adjust with that much better. Otherwise, if ahankaram keep on growing inside, all the other things what you are experiencing in this world will complicate your life much more. Knowing that psychology, Krishna is saying this word to us. Abhyasepi asamartosi malkarma bharbo bhava madartham abhikarmani kurvan siddhima vapsesi. That if this is not possible, he says, asaidada pyashaktosi kartamad yogam ashrida. So this abhimanam, that is what you are fighting against, this ahankaram inside. And Krishna is trying to do a surgery on the ahankaram. How to do the surgery? Ahankaram is a big problem. Everybody has that, right? Especially in the field of karma. It becomes very strong. So there, that requires that these instructions are for that. We'll discuss that next Wednesday, because with these verses, Krishna is slowly bringing us into bhakti. And before that, a very detailed analysis, even in the next verse. Shrayohi jnanam abhyasa, jnanal jnanam vishishyade, jnanal karma bhalatyagam tyaga chandiranandaram. A verse that has been misunderstood so much. That's that verse. So we'll discuss it next Wednesday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.